Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is January 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Upper Darby police arrested a Vermont man wanted for kidnapping and sexual assault following a pursuit and subsequent crash. The crash happened at 6 p.m. Sunday in Morton. The driver, 41-year-old Everett Simpson, was wanted in Vermont in connection with a kidnapping and sexual assault. Police were in pursuit of Simpson when he lost control of the car and crashed into a pole and ended up in the front yard of a home on the unit block of Providence Road. Officials said the incident began about 1 o'clock Saturday outside of the Mall of New Hampshire in Manchester when a man, later identified as Simpson, forced a woman and her child into their car and drove to Vermont. Simpson allegedly forced the woman to rent a room at a local motel where he proceeded to sexually assault the victim. Police said the victim is a stranger who was targeted at random. Police said when Simpson left the hotel room, the victim and child were able to reach safety and contact authorities. Authorities said he had been on the run for a day before leading police on a chase through several jurisdictions in Delaware County while trying to evade officers. Police said he stole another car at the Bishop Hill Apartments in Upper Darby. Authorities said Simpson recklessly continued to lead police on the chase through Springfield before they were able to close in. Simpson was taken into custody by Upper Darby police.
This is going on all day yesterday or just...
Well, it started... It started and then he ended up down here yesterday. It started on Saturday.
What a freaking nightmare for those the people who managed to escape. Thank God they did.
Yep. I know. And the woman whose car he stole here, she fortunately wasn't in it, but he left with all of her belongings inside her car. Philadelphia police are investigating after a 38-year-old man died after being punched in a South Philadelphia park Saturday night. The victim's fiance witnessed the crime. The incident happened at 10 p.m. Saturday in Gold Star Park. The man was fatally wounded in the park while walking his dog with his fiance. According to a neighbor, it all started because he asked another man in the park to put his dog on a leash. Police say after the victim was punched in the face, he fell to the ground and hit his head. Jeez. Neighbors and medics tried to save him, but he was pronounced dead at Jefferson Hospital shortly after arrival. Though the suspect fled, police are confident with surveillance video and witnesses that they're going to find out who did it.
We say this all the time. You can kill somebody by punching them in the face, especially this way.
So sad.
People are so freaking, or not ever. Some people are so freaking touchy. He asked you to put your dog on a leash.
Simple as that.
Calm down, and
that leads to punching and killing.
Which, by the way, I believe is the law.
It might be a law in that particular, park that they were.
Well, and over that, now this guy's probably going to be in jail. Guy's dead, and then this guy's life ruined as well. So, if you have any information, police are asking that you contact them. The partial government shutdown could soon impact the millions of Americans who rely on the nation's food stamp program. The program is run by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is one of the agencies that has been unfunded during the shutdown. Congress recently issued a $3 billion of emergency funds for the program. However, experts say the funding could run out sometime next month. 42 million Americans received benefits in 2017 under the Supplement Nutrition Assistance Program. More than 68% of the recipients were in families with children. If the shutdown continues, the food stamp program could run out of funding. A man in Michigan said he didn't realize his nearly three-month-old lottery ticket was a winner until he heard a rumor about an unclaimed prize. 48-year-old said he bought the Cash Fast Cash lottery ticket from the Caseville one-stop shop in October, and the ticket sat in a folder in his Huron County home for weeks before he was aware of how valuable it was. He won the jackpot, $250,000, and he says he plans to pour the newfound wealth into savings.
I buy lottery tickets fairly regularly. Like every other week. I'm going to the beer store. And I'll be like, give me $10. Why not? I'll throw it out there. And they will sit in my wallet for months and months and months. And I'll eventually go, I need to check these. And as I'm doing that, I'm like, come on, be that little news story.
Let me do that story.
Doesn't it have to be the gazillions of dollars? $100,000?
I might end up as Kathy's kicker story.
That's right.
All right, in sports this morning.
All sacks are young.
The
The Eagles are moving on after beating the Bears 16-15 last night in Chicago. Nick Foles hit Golden Tate with a 2-yard touchdown pass on the fourth down with 56 seconds remaining. With 10 seconds remaining, former kicker Cody Parkey hit the left upright and then the crossbar with a field goal attempt from 43 yards out, sealing the win for the Birds. On Parkey's kick, several Eagles said defensive tackle Tevron Hester touched the ball. Up next for the Eagles is a trip to New Orleans for a rematch against the number one seed in the NFC, the Saints, where they lost 48-7 during the regular season. Kickoff on Sunday at the Superdome is set for 4:40.
We have the call of the missed field goal, if you want to hear that. Here it is.
Cody Parkey. It's left. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria.
Meryl Reese with the call on that.
What is that?
That's Ricky Ricardo. That's his real name.
Actually?
Spanish broadcaster. That's fantastic. He does Eagles for Spanish language. He also does Phillies for Spanish language. And he's a great broadcaster.
I would love to hear the games that way.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's great.
So kickoff on Sunday at 4:40. In the weekend's other wild card games, the Indianapolis Colts advance with a 21-7 win over the Houston Texans. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Seattle Seahawks by 2, and the LA Chargers beat the Baltimore Ravens 23-17. The Sixers, who have won 3 games in a row, are off until tomorrow night when they'll host the Washington Wizards. The Sixers are in 4th place in the Eastern Conference, just 3 games back of the Toronto Raptors with an overall record of 26-14. Tip-off at the center is at 7 o'clock. The Flyers have lost 6 in a row, including a 3-2 heartbreaker to Calgary in overtime on Saturday afternoon. They'll look to turn things around when they host the St. Louis Blues tonight. The puck drops at 7 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Unbelievable.
And that's
Unbelievable. What
I have for you this morning.
Nice. Mondays are easy going into when everybody's in a good mood, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Incredible. Just incredible.
Welcome back to the work.
There were even some surprisingly cool wins at the Golden Globes, Preston.
Yes, we actually will get into that. The Golden Globes were last
I know,
night
as bizarre
too,
as that sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine the mounting excitement of the audience, I'm sure, was ushered straight through to the game into the Golden Globes.
Right.
It was just nonstop pleasure all night long.
Yeah. Nick, is your voice a little raspy from screaming?
No, I'm still dealing with what had last week. Yeah, so it sort of came back to me, and then I talked to Dr. Mike over the weekend. God bless him. He gave me a new script, so I've been...
We always have this, Nick.
They did it!
You don't have to worry. Should your voice ever fail?
That's me and my strongest.
Always got that.
I
got
to say, I'm very, very disappointed in my wife because she, my daughter was filming us yesterday. We had no idea. She was filming us as the field goal double doinked off the uprights. And my wife's reaction was perfect.
Oh.
It was amazing. But she wouldn't let me post it because she's like, I don't look good.
You know what? Because we were commenting this morning on the news, they ran a response that was really underwhelming. Right? They teased it in the video. I would have liked to have seen that.
Oh man!
Well, did you see Jim Antez's son recorded him and he posted it on social media? And his response was pretty good. I think he's not going to have a voice when he comes in today.
Is this what you do when there's a tense moment? You get your phone and get ready to film other people's
reactions.
Well,
I don't, but you know,
don't ever do that when a crime is being committed.
Right. Yes.
So you could provide assistance to the authorities.
No. You do it
at
a pivotal moment in a sporting competition.
Right.
But like Antez is like, he's like, he missed it. I can't even get up to how high he missed it.
Marissa?
To be fair, Preston, just so you know, there was a really tense moment a few plays before, so everybody exploded then. So when then this happened, like, there was...
Delete that last one and then put the new one
out. If you weren't ready for the first one, then this one happened.
Okay.
And my friends didn't do it, and we were all pissed off afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because everyone, like, I turned around and was like, did anybody record that? Because that would have been awesome. I almost got run into a wall.
Well, we live in an age and day where pretty much you can rewind everything on TV, so you just back it up and recreate it all over again.
It's no problem.
No one will know the difference.
Well, everyone's looking to score that clip that ends up on the news. The local man, you know.
In fact, you could do that. You could set something up and do just something obscenely outrageous.
Yes.
That it would absolutely defy belief.
Just like a series of back handsprings down all the
Some kind of, I don't know. So anyhow.
Well, everybody's pretty fired up. And with that, we will talk to one of the best in the business today as far as Philadelphia sports go. Our buddy Michael Barkan is going to be checking in with us.
Speaking of reactions on video, this is pretty great. They have the video of the guys in the studio as field goal bounced off, the attempt bounced off the upright and the crossbar. And his reaction is that of a fan.
And lest I remind you that Barkan was our sort of good luck talisman last year. As we started the run up to the Super Bowl, he was sort of mandated throughout the whole run.
Very, very good. So we'll talk to Mike around 9 o'clock or so. And if that wasn't enough, we're going to start giving away cash today.
Yeah, woo-hoo!
The Go Fund Yourself competition begins here on MMR, and it's really, really simple to do. It's like some other promotions we've done before, where you win cash. Yet there's a little rub added to it that could net you $10,000, friends. So it's very, very simple. Just listen in, because at 8 a.m. we started off, and five times throughout the day, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m., we announce a keyword for the hour. You enter that word via the MMR app or on your mobile device. I'm sorry, you do it through the app on your mobile device or at WMMR.com. One random entrant from all that submit the correct word wins $1,000, and then everyone who enters is qualified for a $10,000 grant.
That's amazing. You know, it's almost worth not having printer paper so we can make sure we can cover this.
We start that today, and it's sponsored by Armor, Metals, and Recycling. Complete contest rules at WMMR.com. So it's an exciting morning. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a second. Yes, the Golden Globes were last night, so we'll run down some of those winners. Stupid question and more coming up when we return. Stay with us, friends.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Still. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to HannahandStone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Vagina. All right, so this morning our stupid question is getting a pair of tickets to see It's Not You, It's Me, the Second City, the latest laughter-inducing undertaking from the world-famous comedy company. Can you tell them just figuring this out? live at the Kimmel Center ring out on January 30th through February 2nd. So,
what is it again?
It is a pair of tickets to see It's Not You, It's Me, the Second City. So it's Second City.
Second City, legendary.
Doing this at Kimmel Center, January 30th through the 2nd, February 2nd. And it says your friends, your parents, even your blind date will find something achingly familiar to laugh at. So I'll give you tickets to that.
All right.
You can answer this question. What is the name for a dragonfly larvae?
Dragonfly larvae.
215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. What is the name for a dragonfly larvae? Call right now. And we'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for your call to come in. Monday, January 7th. It is Nicolas Cage's birthday today.
I was just watching him in Ghost Rider yesterday.
Nick is 55 years old. I thought he was a little older than that for some reason.
He looks older.
He looks like he's lived a hard life.
It's been a little hard. We passed his house, Preston. Do you remember when we took the little guided tour?
Yeah.
We went out to an event at the W Hotel in Los Angeles. And we went through that area where everybody lives, Danny DeVito, Steven Spielberg, everybody. But Cage's home was pretty freaking impressive.
He's done well. He's been in a lot of flicks over the years. So he is 55 today. Jeremy Renner, another actor, celebrates his birthday today. Part of the Avengers franchise.
And he's so good. For somebody who has kind of in the underwhelming set of capabilities, he manages to make it work.
Yep. And you know, I love that my kids, they kind of gravitate towards the ones who are less superhero-ish.
Me
like
too.
Him, that don't have, I mean, he obviously has powers of sorts with his ability, but he's not super strong. He doesn't fly. And they kind of like that about
him. Yeah, no, I like that too. And you see him, he arrives in the movies, what was it? Like
Thor.
Maybe Thor?
Thor was the first one where you see him. He's up in the
little catwalk area. Yeah. But I had, and I don't even know if I knew this the first time I saw it, but in Iron Man 2, Black Widow shows up in that one.
Yes, she's the assistant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I just watched it the other day. You know, it was like one of those, you know, I'm like, I only throw this on as I'm falling asleep. And there's Scarlett Johansson. I'm like, did I know that she was in this? Or am I just discovering this now?
But anyhow, Jeremy Renner has been in a lot of great things other than the Avengers franchise. He was in The Hurt Locker. And
great movie.
Yeah, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, The Bourne Legacy, and so on. So he's 48 today. So is Dustin Diamond. Well, he's not 48. He's 42. But Screech is celebrating a birthday today.
So here's the deal. With all of his accomplishments, the only thing I can think of when you first utter his name is Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, there was a video that he did well after the Saved by the Bell success. And it was, supposedly him with this.
It was fraudulent.
Mess around. So anyhow, he's 42 today. Katie Couric celebrates her birthday, too. She is 62 years old.
She got labeled with the perky thing. And tried to shake that for the longest time. I think she finally did.
She's a good journalist, but cute and perky, perky as well.
You're perky.
David Caruso. Uh-oh. That's right.
Murder. So we have a victim that started the weekend big man on campus and ended it dead on arrival.
Oh, my God. You gotta love it. These every episode.
Isms.
Hang on. Gotta move quick. Tide is rising, and we have a sinking crime scene.
Oh my God! How corny!
Yeah, and he always takes his glasses off.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Give us another. Yeah,
he puts them on.
Yeah.
He takes Miami as a new breed of criminal.
Got caught in the crossfire.
That's what happens when worlds collide.
So freaking hokey.
So David Caruso.
This elevator goes up and down.
So he is 63 today. Jan Wenner, the founder and publisher of Rolling Stone magazine, is 73.
Much conflict with him. So there are people who adore him and people who despise him. And he and Bon Jovi had this long-standing, I don't know if it's an overt fight, but they didn't like each other, and that's what they, you know, kept Bon Jovi out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But they've obviously made amends.
Yep. Donna Rice, former model who had the affair with Gary Hart, and that'll be in the movie, right?
It was out. Yeah.
I missed it. So she's 61.
Front runner, Preston.
Linda Kozlowski, Crocodile Dundee movies.
I always thought she was hot.
I did too. Yeah.
She played in the movie. She played a reporter for a newspaper, which is a Long Island publication. She had like a penthouse apartment in Manhattan. It's like, really?
Yeah.
That's how much they make?
So she's 61. And the last birthday today, a 7-year-old Blue Ivy Carter, daughter of Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Wow.
Celebrates her 7th birthday today. Yeah. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What is the name of a dragonfly larvae? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Heidi. Good morning, Heidi.
Hi.
Hi. Do you know the name of a dragonfly larvae?
Is it a nymph?
A nymph.
Yeah.
That's correct. Get a nymph.
Oh, maniac.
Hang on, Heidi. We got a pair of tickets to see It's Not You, It's Me, the Second City, the latest laugh-producing undertaking from the world-famous comedy company, and it'll be live at the Kimmel Center from January 30th to February 2nd. Your friends, your parents, even your blind date will find something achingly familiar to laugh at. Tickets and info at Kimmel Center. Kibbles.org. I was thinking about that clip last week for some reason. Right, thanks for bringing it back. At the box office this weekend, number one, third week in a row, Aquaman.
Wow.
$30.7 million.
I think worldwide it eclipsed Wonder Woman at this point.
It is still going strong, so that's
I get news. To see it.
I saw it while we were on the break.
What'd you think?
It was enjoyable. It was a bit much.
A bit much.
Well, a little over the top, but...
You believe that if all that stuff was going on under the sea, we would have known about it.
It was... There's a lot going on
down there.
There's
a lot going on down there.
Hell of a lot going on down there. That's kind of what I...
Yeah, it could have been a half hour shorter, and it would have been fine. But nonetheless, I still I love Jason Momoa,
charismatic.
He's great. Yeah. So you know, I can't beat it up. But
and Amber Heard,
it could have been better. She's beautiful, but you know, it's
kind of a terrible actress.
But you might as well go see it. So Aquaman number one, followed by Escape Room, came in second. Mary Poppins Returns at third. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is still in the top five.
I've got to go see that.
Then you have Bumblebee, The Mule, Vice, Second Act, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and the top ten was wrapped up with Holmes and Watson. Was that opening this weekend?
Or no,
was
that second week.
Yeah. Okay, $3.4 million it made. All right, and the Golden Globes are last night. We can kind of touch on a little bit of this.
Oh, I watched every second. Thank you, DVR.
And we can come back to it if you want. I don't know, but...
I think we could probably conga line through it. I don't think it was that eventful. If you whatever works for you.
No, that's fine. The 76th Golden Globes, hosted by Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh, at the Beverly Hills Hilton last night. And Bohemian Rhapsody emerged the big surprise winner on the movie side, nabbing the biggies, but Green Book performed well, too, bringing home three awards.
I've got to see that movie. It's getting sensational reviews, and I think they pulled a Martian thing on that, where they slipped it into a category it probably shouldn't have been in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unless I'm misrecalling it.
Best musical or comedy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It shouldn't be in that.
Yeah.
It should stop being that.
I don't know. Is it, are there funny
it's more
moments?
Yeah, there are amusing moments, but it's Peter Farrelly from the Farrelly Brothers, who's, you know, all of the Dumb and Dumber and all that stuff. But it has it takes place during the early days of the civil rights movement, and it's a little bit more, it's more driving Miss Daisy-ish than comedy.
I can just go through the categories if you want.
Yeah.
Best drama was Bohemian Rhapsody. Anybody besides me see it?
No.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet.
I really, really, really liked it.
And, that came from left field.
Best musical or comedy, Green Book. Best actor in a drama was Rami Malek, who played Freddie Mercury, and he was phenomenal in it.
Blown away, so he beat out Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. Best actress in a drama was Glenn Close for The Wife, and she beat out Lady Gaga, which a lot of people were expecting her to win. So
odds on favorite.
Bit of an upset. Best actress in a musical or comedy, Olivia Colman. And what I don't have is...
Favorite.
They didn't add in this list what films they were in, unfortunately. So some of these, I don't know. Do you know what she was in?
Yeah, she was the favorite.
She plays the queen.
Oh, in the movie, favorite. I thought you meant she was the favorite. To win.
No, it was the movie, the favorite. Okay. Which I had zero interest in seeing this. And now it's getting, like, all of these accolades, and I'm like, oh, man, I have to watch this stupid thing.
I really want to see
it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be actually very funny.
Yeah.
Best actor in a musical or comedy, Christian Bale.
Playing Dick Cheney in Vice.
And there you go, another musical or comedy category.
Yeah.
So they've been
there is a big show number at the end, Preston. They do We Will Rock You.
I've
done my time. Committed no crime. Shot my friend in the face. I will shoot you in the face. I will shoot you in the face.
I always forget how cockney Christian Bale is. And
like, way cockney.
And then I hear him speak, and I thought it was really cool because he shouted out his makeup artist.
Yeah.
And he was like, there's no way I would have won this award had I not looked the way that I did in the movie. And it was a genuine thanks to them for making him look like Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
I don't want to thank my real wife for over here. She got over here, my real wife, for over my little babies.
Like, how do you lose that? I mean, that's the way you normally speak. Totally remove that and have a Midwestern accent. Unbelievable.
Best animated motion picture went to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Best original song, Lady Gaga and Company, who wrote it for the song Shallow from Star is Born. Best supporting actor in a motion picture, Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala,
thank you, in Green Book.
Good actor, that guy.
He's great.
Really good.
Yeah.
First time I saw him, or really saw him and was impressed, was in the first season of Luke Cage.
And he's great in Hidden Figures.
Yes.
I really liked him in that. Best supporting actress in a motion picture went to Regina King for If Beale Street Talk.
There was a time when she was, we had her on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's great.
Super nice.
Yeah. So that's the movie side. On television, the awards went to Best Drama Series for The Americans.
Apparently, I have to start watching that.
I saw the first season, most of the episodes. I thought it was really good, but man, do they lavish praise on this thing.
Yeah.
Best limited series or TV show is The Assassination of Gianna Versace. American Crime Story. What's that from?
Where is that clip from?
No, it's you. It's a clip of you.
Is it?
Yeah, Gianni. Guy's name was Johnny or Gianni. And then you said,
"Wow!"
Yeah. I mean,
I'm
like,
actually quoting myself.
Media.
Now you're just—that's just depressing.
Now it's just a Pavlovian response to right. Gianni. Best musical comedy series was The Kaminsky Method.
I love that show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin, and it's really funny. It's you can totally BuzzFeed through that. BuzzFeed.
Buzz right through it.
Yes. BuzzFeed's like a website.
You could BuzzFeed through it.
You could Boulder Snatch right through it.
You could MySpace right through that.
Just Boulder Snatch.
Boulder Snatch through it. Busty Asian right through it.
You can buzz through it on a
weekend.
Well,
by the way, Nick, best actor in a musical or comedy went to Michael Douglas for that.
Very good.
Chuck Lorre, who's the showrunner for Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory and all these shows, this is his baby as well, and the guy has the magic touch.
Best actress, musical or comedy, went to Rachel Brosnahan. I don't know what for.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She is the marvelous one.
Good show?
I love it.
I do. I can't get through it. I can't get through the full episode.
So the thing is, she sort of becomes this like edgy
really
stand-up comedian.
Like,
and those are the only parts of the show that I don't really enjoy. Are her up
doing
on stage
stand-up?
Doing stand-up.
I agree. I've seen a couple episodes, and that's so. To me, she's sort of being. The show is sort of an unofficial Joan Rivers kind of thing,
that.
Right?
Yeah, there was a bit of an homage to Joan Rivers, the beginning of her career.
Right, and again, it's always hard for people who don't do stand-up to pretend they're doing stand-up on stage. You know,
Alex Borstein, is that how you say it?
She is the star of the show. The first episode of the second season, her story arc in that episode is
I'll
hilarious.
I'll have to watch.
It's great.
On to best actor in a drama series went to Richard Madden for The Bodyguard, which which is I absolutely loved it. Loved it. And he's great. He's Robb Stark from Game of Thrones.
Kathy, watch that.
Well, you know what? I tried to pull that up because I heard Preston talking about it and then life happened and I didn't get to watch it, but that is on my list.
But there is a romantic element to it.
It's very smart.
Yeah.
I'm smart. You try to figure out what's going on as far as where this plot is going, and it's really takes some twists and turns that are cool.
And they take the time to not do standard, they're going here, and then they don't go there.
Yeah. Best actress in a TV drama went to Sandra Oh, which a lot of people were predicting she was.
So last night they had Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh were the hosts, and they're... Andy Samberg does this thing that's very funny where he's done it on roasts where he comes out, I'm going to roast you, but he's really lavishing praise on the people.
Right.
He does it brilliantly, but it was sort of unfair to ask Sandra Oh
to do his bit
with him.
Yeah. And do more of it.
So it was, I thought Sandra Oh was doing
was
a great
good.
Job trying it. But it was just not quite there.
I've come around on her. I really like her more.
I really liked her after last night, Preston. She was in there swinging away, trying as hard as she could.
So she won, which is huge for her. And then the last two categories, best supporting actor in a series or made-for-TV movie, Ben Whishaw. I don't know what he won for. And best actress for that same category went to Patricia Arquette.
All right, so that was for Escape from Dannemora, which I finished. It's awesome. I mean, it's a true story. So if you are going to watch it, don't like Wikipedia it or anything like that.
I saw episode one and I got to finish it. I've started so many shows and that, you know, and Kathy says life happens. I have so many kids and cats.
Yeah, you know.
No, like even just like the laundry, the dryer goes off. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
I had a souffle in the oven. I couldn't finish.
But the way they shot that. Show I really enjoyed because, and I'm not giving anything away.
It was Ben Stiller
directing. You know what? I don't want to.
All right.
I'll stop right there because I don't want to give anything away.
You said enough.
A true story, but watch it. Let me know what you think.
All right. So Golden Globes are in the books now. A few more awards coming up, and then the Oscars and
the Conga line.
Yep. It starts happening in January. So, well, ladies and gentlemen, after Kendall Jenner. And mom, Kris Jenner, teased that the model had a big announcement to make.
Yes.
Fans were theorizing what the reveal could be. 2 days later, the 23-year-old's new partnership with Proactive debuted during E's Live Golden Globes.
Yes! Last
night. Shut up, Twitter really? Users were underwhelmed. Matriarch Kris Jenner has teased big news from her daughter on Instagram Saturday, praising the supermodel for being so brave and vulnerable.
Brave.
Unbelievably
brave.
She described it as Jenner's most raw story yet and said, be prepared to be moved.
So here's the deal. I'm watching this, and then afterwards, a commercial for St. Jude's Children's Hospital came up, and I was disgusted.
Oh, my God.
They were painting these children as brave, and they were painting these children as courageous. I said, do you know what we just heard?
Yeah, Kendall.
We just heard Kendall Jenner is the face of proactive.
Kendall opened up about her battle
with
acne.
And you're going to show me a kid in a wheelchair and say, this is brave? Sorry, no.
She opened up about her battle with acne and revealed her new partnership with skincare company Proactive.
Wow.
A year after the reality star's acne was visible on the Golden Globes red carpet.
It was? Brave.
Oh, wow.
That's, I mean.
Hey, can we not, yeah, we're just sort of glossing over the fact that her mother stood by her side that whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. She had said, listen to this. I remember going online and seeing all the horrible things people were saying about me and my skin. She said this during the commercial.
Oh.
I felt so good that night that I forgot that I had bad skin.
I'll never forget. They said I had bad skin.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, I'm a multimillionaire.
Yeah. Social medias were not moved by the revelation. Shortly after, Jenner followed her tweet about her acne with another
post. She got a bad parking spot.
Oh, no.
I'll never forget the day I got a bad parking spot. It was 35 feet from the front door. What? What?
What?
Don't they know I'm sick?
Listen, no question, bad acne can
stop. I have acne!
And it's horrible, but, you know, vulnerable and brave and most raw story
no,
yet.
No.
Shut up.
This isn't my left foot.
Shut your mouth.
Shut up.
I am a human being.
Yeah.
You look at me because of my acne and you say I'm an insect.
Shortly after, she followed her tweet about her acne with another post that drove home why a few pimples don't stop her from attending the Golden Globes.
But that is a profile in courage.
She wrote, honored and humbled to be able to attend the Golden Globes with Vogue magazine. My eyes were opened and my heart is full.
Oh, my God.
Seeing all of the men and women who are part of this vital change. I, too, stand with all women. Hashtag time's up.
What happened to your face?
Whoever's involved with this stuff. Do you remember the massive misstep of that Pepsi commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was joining a quasi something sort of like Me Too, Black Lives Matter, whatever the hell it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And she's there and she's a model who realizes that there's more to the world than just being beautiful.
Mm. I'll tell you what, Carson Wentz could probably use some a little proactive.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What was that?
That poor guy.
He's got
with his
skin.
Broken back and.
Yeah. And a zit on his neck.
And gigantic.
Listen, man, once you hear the story of Kendall Jenner,
he can come back.
Everything else pales in comparison.
Please. All right, Kevin Spacey is still getting acting gig offers, despite the fact that his arraignment is happening today. While the star has been accused of sexual misconduct by 30-plus men, Anthony Rapp, by the way, was the first one to point the finger. This is the first formal charge that has been levied against him.
Just a quick thing, Preston. While we were on vacation, he had issued a video. Did you see him where he's sort of playing a riff on his House of Cards character?
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
He got 9 million plus page views when he posted this video of himself as his character Frank Underwood once the formal charges emerged in a recent appearance seemingly curated for the paparazzi who wore a baseball cap that read retired in 2017 and then offered the Shutterbugs some of his pizza.
Any of you guys see that?
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
It's weird.
An old colleague of Spacey's tells Page Six that the cloud of scandal hasn't dimmed his acting prospects anywhere. This source said he is still getting acting offers from Europe and Russia, and he's just assumed that he can come back to America in a few years.
We would like you to appear in Space Jam 4.
And do American films. On Monday, today he'll face charges of assaulting a then 18-year-old boy. One insider told Page Six that Spacey knows what he's doing and purposely attracting a media circus ahead of his arraignment is in a bid for interest from Hollywood. He's reportedly planning to plead not guilty today. So
the truth of the matter is he's a sensational actor and he's always compelling to watch, but I think he's legitimately looking at jail time if these, you know, there are a number of charges against him. And the reports of people who've worked with him, they say he's a miserable F. Yeah.
I think his original strategy of just disappearing for a long period of time
was better.
Was a better much idea, better. Yeah.
Much better. Let's see here. Jersey Shore's Dina Cortez welcomes a baby boy named Christopher John. This is her and husband Christopher Buckner's first child together. The pair welcomed him on January 5th, and she wrote on social media, "Our little man has finally arrived, Christopher John Buckner. January 5th, 4:41 p.m., whopping 20.5 inches, 6 pound, 8 and a half ounces.
I got some good news. I fought it out a kid."
She wrote, "Mommy and Daddy, love you so much, CJ. You're everything. I never thought I could love Chris any more than I did until I saw him hold CJ."
The kid can't read right now.
And after an alleged domestic incident involving his girlfriend, Jen Hartley, Ronnie Ortiz Magro appeared on social media with an injured face.
This is like the fifth time he's appeared on social media with bruises and or cuts from a physical altercation with her.
The star, the Jersey Shore star, I should say, filed a domestic violence report against Hartley after an alleged fight on New Year's Eve. So that whole thing continues.
This is making the Mel Gibson relationship look healthy in comparison.
Yep. This is sad news. Kathy Griffin has shared news that her 98-year-old mother is suffering from dementia. She said that Maggie Griffin said of her, "As heartbreaking as this is, I feel the need to share some important info about my mom, Maggie. I've always been honest with you all, but this one is really hard. The pic below, taken in September, was the last time I was able to have a proper, coherent conversation with her. Since that photo was taken, she has rapidly fallen into the throes of dementia."
That's horrible. That she is... also lost her sister to cancer, I think, a year and a half ago.
Wow. I said, "This is never easy for any child, and I know this is a reality that millions of people deal with every year. But when it comes to my mom, this is particularly hard because her sharp mind was everything." So that's sad to hear about that. Let's see. By the way, going to the Golden Globes and the whole red carpet thing.
Yeah.
There's a story from the Hollywood Reporter that came out. Luxury brands that are eager for hot stars to wear their goods on the red carpet are offering major endorsement deals to them. They reported that placing a gown or statement jewelry with an A-lister like Emily Blunt or Lady Gaga or Rachel Weisz can be worth between about $50,000 to $200,000 for a single appearance.
So the person who is wearing the garment will pick up that cash.
They get paid.
For wearing, like, a top designer's clothing.
Totally.
That's wild.
Kathy, did you see Taylor Swift's earrings?
Oh, I saw Taylor Swift's dress. I thought she looked gorgeous.
Well, with this knowledge in mind, Preston, about the jewelers and the dress being dressed up for this type of thing, I noticed Taylor Swift's earrings last night. They looked like they were royal jewels. Like
really?
Crown jewels. They were massive, and I was wondering if they were real.
I saw her, but I didn't take notice of the earrings.
By the way, last night also receiving the Achievement Award was Jeff Bridges.
He was great.
Was he?
He was great.
He's the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Yes. Yeah. So he gets up there, and he's saying all the stuff. He loves being associated that he's the dude. To his core, he is sort of the dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He's talking about, you know, he drops this. He's talking to the audience and he says, you know, years ago, a friend of mine, Bucky Fuller, he's talking about R. Buckminster Fuller, the genius designer and architect. And Bucky, you know, talked about a system with rudders for tankers and how, long story short, it all made sense when he was done. It's like we all have a small part to play in the way everything moves along. So don't ever take that for granted. Here's a guy who's just loving life. And they showed a clip again, Hell or High Water. Chris Pine was actually the one who introduced him on stage as co-star in Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
Phenomenal performance.
Okay. Steve, it looked like he had an idea as to what he might say, but he wasn't reading anything.
No,
it was all from the heart.
Just riffing, and it was good. It was classically Jeff Bridges.
Or maybe he's a great actor, and everything was rehearsed down to every single pause and beat.
Yeah, and they invented a new award last night, too, for Carol Burnett.
Yes.
It was Lifetime Achievement in TV.
Yeah. It was very... Did you see the setup?
I did, and they named it after her, and I love the Carell setup with nominating other people for the Carol Burnett Lifetime Achievement Award when she was going to be the inaugural winner.
She's standing behind stage with her fingers crossed.
Oh, that's great.
I hope I get it.
That's great.
But the setup reminded me of you guys because there were so many clips from the Carol Burnett show with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, and it's stuff that makes me laugh now that is probably, you know, 40 years old at this point.
To that point, Nick, and Preston, I'll throw this up to you, and I you hate to sound like, they don't know what real talent was. But we really have some stellar, multi-talented people who are passing, you know, not that she's, and God, thank God she's still around, but like Dick Van Dyke walked out on stage. I mean,
oh, that's cool.
They're few and far between now where they were full comprehensive show people. People like Bruno Mars comes to mind.
Multi-talented.
People who've got that, you know, Swiss Army knife capability.
Yeah.
Just, you don't see it as much.
Yeah, they can act, sing, dance, host.
Right.
Do all kinds of different things.
Everything.
There's not a lot of people that can pull that off. So, well, that's cool. And I love Jeff Bridges. That hard-pressed to find anything that I didn't like him in, whether I like the movie or not.
Tron,
you know what I mean?
For Christ's sake.
I love Tron.
One of your favorites. You can recite the entire script.
I used to be able to do that. Got to get back into my old ways. All right, then one last thing. Taron Egerton is starring as Elton John in Rocketman. And on Friday, Paramount released new images of him in the role. He looks great.
He does.
He looks great. Rocketman takes off May 31st. Dexter Fletcher's Rocketman is being billed as an epic musical fantasy about the uncensored human story of Elton John's breakthrough years.
I have something I need to admit right now. When they introduced him last night, they said Taron Egerton of the upcoming movie Rocketman. I thought it was going to be a superhero movie.
Rocketman.
Where he's flying through the skies.
Man,
I just,
on a rocket.
I did not put two and two together until right now.
Though, to that point, Preston, around that time, around Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, was there anybody cooler than Elton John?
No, he was over the top. You know, the outrageous outfits and the music was so cool. I agree.
So there's a movie called Sing. It's a animated movie. Steve, I don't know if you've seen it.
I have, because you guys recommended it so much.
And he is in it. He's the gorilla, and he sings I'm Still Standing at the end.
Who knew he
movie.
Could sing?
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what got him this role.
Yeah, maybe.
They did a decent job at it. All right, we're ready for clips. Here we go. So after Rami Malek won the Golden Globe last night for Best Actor in a Drama, he stepped backstage to continue the celebration. And in this clip, he tells reporters the cast and crew's clear motivation behind the movie. Here we go.
There's only one thing we needed to do, and that was to celebrate Freddie Mercury in this film. There is only one Freddie Mercury, and nothing was going to compromise us giving him the love, celebration, and adulation he deserves.
If you haven't seen it yet, the last 15 minutes or so is performance, and I'm not giving anything away from this. And I'm telling you, while I was in the theater, there were moments, not only Rami, but the guy who plays Brian May, everybody in the band, I thought I was watching Queen. I thought I was watching the actual guys, and this was footage that we hadn't seen, and they got this great footage. It's that phenomenal.
So
it's that good.
He was at the table with the members of Queen, you know, that were there. Brian May, they were all there, and gave a nice speech about that last night. On a side note, last week I'm watching some experts and top level scientists from NASA talking about one of their recent achievements, and who's sitting there at the table? Brian May.
He's not an astrophysicist.
He's goddamn close. Yeah.
Well, he's involved in that. His schooling was in that realm.
Yes.
So that's cool, man.
He's at the table, and they ask him about his take. I forget what it was, what they were talking about. But he is a very, very, very smart guy.
I think he got his doctorate in astrophysics, though.
Did he really?
I believe so, yeah. And he studied the interplanetary dust and the velocity of dust in the plane in the solar system. I mean,
we are so stupid.
Okay. Right?
He is an astrophysicist.
And we are stupid.
Bohemian Rhapsody is set for digital release on January 22nd. All right, here's the next clip.
Lady Gaga shared her Golden Globe for Best Original Song equally with her friends. But backstage, when she was asked about how the song was written, Mark Ronson jumped in with the truth about the process. Here we go.
Where do you want to start? There was a piano.
With your badass chorus.
Yeah.
I hesitate to use the word genius. She's the master chef, and we're all just like holding up celery. Like, you like this? You like this? You like this? And if she likes something, she does.
Did Joey Calderon? Isn't that her?
Joey didn't show up.
Listen, I tell you what. Speaking of, and I'll tie these two clips together. If you go back and you do a search on Lady Gaga and Brian May,
Yeah.
Okay. When she was playing that role of Joey Calderon for the MTV Video Music Awards, whatever year that was.
Like 5-6 years
when
ago?
When she came out, and I think it was longer than that. Yeah. She came out and performed, and in the middle of the song, Brian May comes out and plays the guitar.
That's
solo.
So awesome.
And it's fan-freaking-tastic.
Listen, there's no denying Lady Gaga, you know, is a comprehensive musician. She can play everything. She writes music, and she's excellent.
Yep. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Entertainment Report this morning. You are awaking to a gorgeous sunrise before the sun reaches up to the clouds, which it will be shortly. So enjoy that while you can, and on the high of the Birds' win last night.
Unbelievable.
Our buddy Michael Barkham will be on the show this morning to talk a little bit about that. That'll be closer to 9 o'clock. Before that, your chance to win big money. We begin MMR's Go Fund Yourself, $1,000 cash, your opportunity to win 5 times a day, and maybe even crank that up to 10 grand. We'll get the details. In fact, they'll be here in mere seconds. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. Michael Barkan on the program a little bit later on to talk about the Birds' victory last night. We're also going to have your chance to win some money this morning, starting with our Go Fund Yourself contest here at MMR, and $1,000 5 times a day, $10,000 potentially for a grand prize winner. So anybody who participates can possibly win that, which is cool.
Awesome.
So that ought to make you happy, too.
Yeah, I love the new addition.
A lot of reaction videos posted from last night's game. I saw them immediately. I popped on Twitter real quick.
It's the thing.
I guess so. Yeah,
it's the thing.
If there's a nail biting moment, a point at which the tides can turn, people start filming now and have been for a while. But I think they go up immediately.
It began with the Zapruder film, I think.
Maybe
it was one of those.
Something's gonna happen.
You roll a camera.
Yeah. Hey, but as a result, you know, you have cool moments like at the end of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia this past year. They did like a 2-part episode of the Eagles Super Bowl,
right?
And at the very end of the second one, they had all of this footage from people's own camera. I won't do it because I'm too superstitious.
Right.
I thought about doing it for the Super Bowl last year. I really did, because it looked like there was a victory that was going to be sealed. And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to risk it. And I don't want to capture a point of deep sadness.
Yeah, would you have saved that video?
Would I have saved that?
If they would have lost, and
no,
it would
would've.
Be you, you know, being sorely disappointed.
No.
Well, we have actually, somebody did last night, although it wasn't at the very moment.
It's so authentic, though, Preston, it started making the rounds immediately.
It was after the game was over, and a Bears fan walking out of the stadium.
He's had time to think.
Was somebody holding the camera, or was he doing a selfie?
I think he was holding the camera himself.
Oh, he was doing a selfie
video. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was none too happy, as you might imagine. So let's get random Bears fan reaction here if you have not heard this yet.
8 million, 10 million, 25 million. I don't know how much Cody Parkey's getting paid, but that little from South Florida can't make a goddamn kick for his life. I mean, how much money we gotta pay this how much opportunity do you need? How many missed kicks is Cody Parkey gonna hit this year? 11. That's how many. 11. You, Cody. You.
11.
Poor Cody Parkey.
There's so many elements to this, because Casey, you and your tweet, I agreed with 1,000%. You know, Bears fans, you know.
What was his tweet?
I said, you know what? I'll just read it to you, Preston, because it was very, very heartfelt. Because, you know, I've been there. I've been on the other receiving end of that in
ire
years past.
And disappointment.
And disappointment. Yeah. Especially the disappointment. As I just wrote to the city of Chicago, I love you. I feel your pain, and I thank you for what you did to Minnesota last week. The Bears are now my second favorite team in the NFL. And they are. But like, I mean, Chicago is a big city. It's a big, big city, and there are a lot of upset and pissed off people, and I've been there. You know, we've all been there. It's very, very, very
disappointing, and it's a long season, and you know, I have to wait till
there's so many levels August? To come in on mm-hmm. this. Right? Just because I talking about, I always think about you when I'm doing my ritual. I managed to see. I just tuned over. I was anticipating the extreme excitement of the Golden Globes as we were getting into it, and saw Foles that last touchdown, which was amazing, and then. Realizing there was time in the game, I tuned away because I can't. I don't watch. I watch the games in highlights because that's my good luck thing.
Well, so you missed the. Did you miss the 2-point conversion miss that they missed? It was they did the Philly special. Yeah. They did the Philly special to get the 2-point conversion,
except for one part.
Yeah. So the running back grabbed the direct snap, and normally he would. Throw it over. But he took it up the middle instead. It was if it would have worked, that would have been so great.
But it all worked out wonderfully. Yeah. But the whole vibe. But that poor guy, man,
Cody Parkey.
Dear Christ,
well, Kevin Gunn tweeted out that he's now he's replaced Steve Bartman as the most hated sports figure in Chicago. Steve Bartman is obviously the guy that touched the foul ball that could have been caught in the 2003 League Championship Series. And basically had to be run out of town. I can't see Cody Parkey ever being a member of this team again.
How does that even
it was tipped, by the way.
It was tipped. The ball was tipped.
It wasn't blocked outright, but there was a finger that touched the ball. But he double doinked it. He doinked it off the crossbar and the upright. And it sucks for this guy.
And what made it worse was that they called the timeout. You know, right as he was kicking it in enough time, but he made that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they do that.
I know, but I felt, listen, I of course wanted the Eagles to win, but I felt so bad for him. I really did.
Didn't he make three earlier in the game?
Yeah.
Three field goals?
He maybe three kicks successfully.
Extra point.
But, you know, it sucks for the dude no matter what. I'm glad the Eagles won, but.
I mean, listen, you're going to get used to it at some level, but I don't think you can ever prepare for having an entire city suddenly hate you.
Well, and it's pretty amazing. He hit the goalpost 11 times throughout the season. Like,
11!
He missed 11 field goals,
that's how many! 11!
He missed Kathy. He hit the upright.
You, Cody!
He hit the upright four times in one game. But 11 misses total on the season.
11! I was, watching the ball go down in slow motion on the repeat, I was thinking of Rodney Dangerfield doing the dive.
Yeah, the triple Indy.
Oh, my God!
But field goal kickers are the most loved and hated players in all of the four major professional sports because he makes that field goal.
Either are the absolute savior mm-hmm. or you're the ire of everyone.
Yep.
Or you receive the ire of everyone.
So his response has sort of been, he owns it. He's obviously says he owns it, but to the people who are coming after him, he's also said, F you. Cody!
Steve, I remember what it was like in Philadelphia in 1993 after Mitch Williams gave up the home run to Joe Carter, and people were sending death threats to the poor guy.
And Nick, that's pretty much pre-social media.
Way before social media, way before the internet. Yeah. You know, this is 1993, and people wanted to literally kill Mitch Williams for giving up a home run ball. My hopes were dashed as well, but I wasn't about to murder
somebody. Is it possible to
take sports too seriously?
Either that or to maybe step back and go, why am I so angry?
I mean, is this really the end of
what's
the world?
What's going on?
I guess if you put all of your eggs in that basket, then maybe you can really, really, if this is the one thing in your life that you really, really desire and your dreams and your desires are dashed and destroyed because of one person that maybe you feel that you actually need to murder them.
Or if you
that's
put
why
too much money
football
on the game.
And coin collecting and coin should collecting. Be good. Yeah. Right. Football and stamp collecting, a nice sedate, relaxed thing.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I'd be remiss if I said at that moment, like, you know, and I'm not the football fan that you are. I enjoy it and I enjoy a good game. But that Foles touchdown, you know, I nearly crapped myself. I can't take this. I can't live your life the way you follow football. I would have a massive heart attack.
It's so stressful.
There are people who take sports too seriously, and the problem with that is that sports is supposed to be the distraction. It's supposed to be the entertainment and the place where you derive pleasure. And to leave the stadium the way that that 11 guy does last night, the audio, if that had gone through,
you, Cody,
would have been, I love you, Cody. You know, he would have been yelling at the number of
you
times.
You are the man!
I love you so much, Cody Parkey.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a game of inches, man.
11!
That's, I wasn't too far from that guy during the Eagles-Texans game this past year. I was at that game.
A Texans fan or an Eagles fan?
No, me. At the refs, though. I was.
Oh, you were yelling.
I lost my...
Yes.
Yes.
Were you at the game?
I was at the game.
Okay.
And
sorry to interrupt. Do you react differently at the game versus on your couch at home?
Yeah, because my kids are at home.
That's what I
mean. You know, so
there's language at home.
Yeah, there's language that I don't use at home. You know, not only my kids, but my mommy's there too. And so, you know,
I made some soap.
Dude, by the way, what a crock. I made some mac and cheese.
I saw your tweet.
Buffalo chicken mac and cheese last night. It was so good.
I was excited for you.
But when Nick Foles was... face mask down. I mean, he was tackled by nothing but his face mask. I had, and that happened fairly early-ish in the game. I had a headache for the rest of the game for how loud I was yelling, and I was, you know, double bird, F you, and then because I was looking around and I surveyed the scene before the game. I was like, okay, there's no kids around here. All right, I can let it fly. Yeah, and then I look down. There's this little girl sitting right in front of me because I sit right
Why
behind.
Why are you yelling so loud?
Oh man,
you're scaring me.
I
you, Cody.
That's how I was.
Why is that man so angry?
There's a wall in front of me, so I didn't know that there was. I mean, when I say little girl, I mean, she was probably like 10 or 11. Listen, I'm sure she's heard it before.
You're at a sporting event. It's going to happen. You try not to do it. You were swept up in the moment. You feel bad about it, But to that point, have you ever gotten you? So you won't rage like that at home.
No.
Okay. You.
If I'm by myself, yes. Yeah. But I mean, I have to. You know, listen, if my kids are there, I will maintain my composure.
So for him, for Cody.
Uh-huh.
So your best guess. Do you just leave? Do you have to? You have to, right?
That's what happens.
What do you think, Case?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Bartman, a fan, had to leave Chicago. Cody Parkey's a player, man. That guy's done in that town. There's no way he can suit up as a Bear next season.
It's like if you crossed a drug dealer. It's like, you know what? Let's go and just leave everything at home. Let's go.
I have to leave. I shot someone. I have to leave.
It's like an Ozark when they have to get out today.
Like today.
We are leaving today.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's asking here. They haven't heard the whole clip, so I'm going to play it from the beginning again. Here.
8 million, 10 million, 25 million. I don't know how much Cody Parkey's getting paid, but that little from South Florida can't make a goddamn kick for his life. I mean, how much money we gotta pay his how much opportunity do you need? How many missed kicks is Cody Parkey gonna hit this year? 11.
How many?
11.
How many?
That's how many. 11. You, Cody. You.
I thought for sure that okay. I said to you, okay, the Eagles didn't get this one. You know, they're because I thought there's no way he's not going to make his kick.
Yeah.
You and everybody in Philadelphia and Chicago.
Yes.
Well, and our general sales manager Jim Antes had no idea.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that. That's a man.
That's a grown
that's
man.
Joy.
Listen to this last part, the last part here. Listen. That's him screaming he missed it. One more time. That's a human being.
When you are just driven, and that's what sports can do to you.
What does that remind you of?
What does that remind me of?
Does that sound like is that Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber 2?
Oh, I love you! Yes, you're right.
Dear God.
Oh, lordy, lord. Hang on, we got some calls. I don't know what these pertain to, but I'm going to go to them. Let me go to Rob. Hi, Rob. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys. You rock.
Thanks, bud. What's up, Rob?
My wife and I were in Applebee's last night in Newtown, PA, and this guy, mid-50s, 60 years old, in the bar side, we're on the glass side, on the opposite side, thank God, is running around, F this. I mean, it was like, this is Newtown. Like, you know what I mean? It's like kids sitting there. I mean, it was exciting, you know, the Eagles win, but
yeah.
Oh my God, it was like a little ridiculous in that area.
So he ran over onto the restaurant side, away from the properly secluded bar side, and starts entertaining you. So we assume he was a zealous Eagles fan. He wasn't bemoaning the Chicago loss, correct?
Right. Okay. Yeah, he was promoting, going around, doing a high five to everybody. You know, drunk as a skunk looked like, but whatever.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you go to Applebee's. Yeah.
Yeah, at Applebee's, yeah. Yep.
All right, thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Let's go out for some sandwiches at Applebee's.
I really was hoping, though, and he came on the show early in the Golden Globes, but I was hoping that Bradley Cooper was going to say something about it he was on mic.
You have to figure that he went from somewhere watching the end of that game right to that front seat, right?
Like, right.
He's such an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
There's no way he wasn't watching that game, and he did have a grin on his face the entire Golden Globes.
You have to, again, this is all stuff that, you know, everyone assesses at some point or another, but to be in Foles' position and to, I fold so easily. How do you? I know that's your job, but pulling together collected capability. There's
what
a point
for.
Preston, I mean, there's a point in that pass, and yeah. we admire that and that final touchdown pass where the arm is going one way, and there's a guy who's diving in front of him, and just his arm just tilts to the side, and the pass goes right by him. It's what they do, but from our level, it's an amazing thing.
There's a movie with Kevin Costner called For Love of the Game, and he's pitching a perfect game, and the very last guy that steps up, and he just says to himself, one more, like I've done a million times.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what they have to run through their head, I assume, which is like, all right, we've run through this, we've done it over and over and over, let's just do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, let's just go, and it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Why get yourself all, you know, torqued up about
and
it?
And that's how they win.
Before it happens. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody had texted in Casey, Jim Antez, the clip, our sales manager, Daniel Stern in the Home Alone movies when the tarantula lands on his face.
Yes. I have that.
Do you have that?
I have it. Give me a second.
Let's see what I got. Just give me 2 seconds.
Steve, while you're looking for that, we do know that the ball was tipped for all the people texting in. There was a finger that hit the ball. And yes, Eagles fans can be just as obnoxious as any other fan in the NFL. We acknowledge that.
All right, here we go.
All right.
No, that's not him.
That's Kevin.
Oh, that's Kevin?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, I thought we had the other one.
Casey will look for it.
I got it somewhere.
Yeah, I know we have that. I don't know. It would be under Home Alone, I guess, Casey. Tarantula.
It's actually under Scream.
I have Home Alone, Scream. That might be the same one, Case.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Who, Steve?
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You're looking for it.
Yeah, the one if yours is listed as Home Alone, Scream, it's the same one I just
played. No, mine is called Scream Home Alone.
Try it.
Oh. Big difference.
Try it.
All right, no. So I want to hear
Maybe it is under Home Alone.
All right, anyway.
Anywho.
Marissa, Case, there's another piece of audio that we should bring up. So she's got a piece of audio of Parkey, and apparently he's doing the interview in the media room afterwards.
Yeah, dude, why would they make him do
that?
Seriously.
Yeah. Just go home.
How do you feel?
All right, here we go. Zip.
So I feel terrible.
Well, there he goes, Dave. You asked the question.
Yeah. So I feel terrible. You know, I'm going to continue to put things in perspective, continue to just put my best foot forward and just sleep at night knowing that I did everything in my power this week to go and make that kick, and for whatever reason at the crossbar and the upright, and I still couldn't do it. So I feel terrible.
There's a fan we'd like you to meet.
There's
a guy we met outside.
She's always there for me, supporting me. My dog, when I get home, he's not gonna care if I made it or missed it.
Oh my god,
that's so sad. I really do feel bad,
Kathy,
for him.
Think about, and it can happen in higher profile jobs where you're whether it be in media or sports. I think sports more acutely, where you go from to vilified in just a second.
I mean, people were texting in the words Scott Norwood, and he missed a field goal in 1990 or 91 for the Bills, you know, against the Giants. And it was the Super Bowl. It was the biggest stage in sports. But, I mean, you know, that name automatically came to people's mind. Cody Parkey forever is going to be associated with this.
What about Buckner? That right? Is that
yeah, Bill Buckner, man. I mean, that was 1986. The Red Sox have won, what, three or four World Series since. But mention Buckner to a Sox fan, and you're still going to get Buckner's. Mitch Williams in Philadelphia. I mean, there are these villains that people love to hate, and everybody's going to hate Scott Norwood in Buffalo forever. Everybody's going to hate Cody Parkey and Steve Bartman in Chicago forever because these guys, in their minds, ruined an entire sports
you
season.
You ruined my life!
My life.
And the thing is, you know this guy wanted to make it.
Yeah, of course he
did. Sometimes you don't.
His dog still loves him, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You better get used to having sex with that dog.
We have the clips back to back of Jim, his scream, and then the spider. Well, okay. First, the spider scream.
All right. Wait. There's a better spider scream. Sorry. Hang on.
That's
let me.
Right. All right.
Let me go here.
Let me just. Okay. Here we go.
You got it.
This is them together.
That's it. That's it. That is absolutely it.
That's perfect. That is dead on, man.
I might have another one to throw in there as well.
Just quickly, too. How many yards was that kick?
43.
Which is not... It's
ain't easy,
it's
but
formidable. But
yeah,
it's not out of the realm of.
He
it's
made
not a
it
70 yard kick.
He
yeah.
made it a couple seconds before.
Yes, he did, Kathy. And then they iced him, and then he missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus!
How much Christ. Of the miss do you credit to the partial block case? Any of it?
A lot of it.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, probably yeah. all of it.
You think know? So, Case?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that you're. The trajectory, anything that takes it off its spin or if it's yeah, it'd have to have an impact.
I mean, when it was going, it was I just saw it fading to the left, and then it hit the crossbar. And my wife started freaking out, and I was like, because I saw the way it bounced, yeah. I go, oh, it's bouncing in, you know, and that was my reaction. Okay, well, it hit the crossbar, but it's bouncing in, and then it didn't go in.
So
it
for the rest amazing. Of his days, will people say that he missed it or that this was partially blocked?
Yeah, I don't care. You know,
I don't care either. But people,
no.
The semantics involved. Like, he's a villain, right?
Oh my gosh.
But
sure.
does he deserve to be as much of a villain as he is, even though somebody partially blocked the ball?
No.
Who was the player? The first player who went over because he was hunched over, and the first player came over and hugged him.
It was one of the offensive linemen, and he did the right thing.
But as you see closer, he's actually choking him out.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you guys see the bear?
The bear collapsing.
The oh. Replay that thing. Look at the behind mascot in the background, right behind the goalpost. Wait, ready? Preston Watts.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, he just absolutely collapses.
Yeah, he just, bam.
Yep.
There was just so
what
much.
What are you going to do?
Exactly.
You just pass
this is
out.
Not a good day.
He's got to continue to be a mascot.
Right. And then the coach's face after, yeah. like it was just frozen.
All right, here's three clips. We're going to keep going back to the Jim Antez scream. So we have the spider scream, then Jim, and then a clip after that.
Can we do the Spanish commentary one again?
Yeah, we played that earlier this morning, and let's play it again. Ricky Ricardo, who does the call in Spanish, was pretty excited over that.
Cody Parkey, el snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló.
Oh.
No, señor. Los hijos se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! No, papá. Señor. No, señor. Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia gana el partido. Le dio el poste. Y falló. Parkey falló. Los Eagles ganan el juego. Ay, papá.
I don't know what he's saying. I just know that enthusiasm is infectious.
I caught Cody Parkey. He said that. He said Chicago.
Philadelphia.
And they said Philadelphia. I got all of those.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Marissa was just telling me in my earpiece that Cody Parkey, somebody found him on Venmo,
and people have been sending him money.
Come on, really?
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy barely has enough to make ends meet. I got to send him over some money.
Well, he lost all of his residuals from the Cosby Show.
So who's going to New Orleans? Marissa, are you going to try and make that trip down there? You're not going to do it?
All right. So, let me say that. Last night I sent Casey a picture of all of my friends. Like, after we all calmed down, found our seats back on the couch, everybody was on their phones just looking at flights. And it's kind of impossible to make it back here because there's no overnight flights. But this morning, somebody sent me a link to Green Legion, and they are chartering a flight and leaving right after the game.
Mm.
Wow. So you're going.
So I'm thinking about it.
I was so sure, honestly.
Intently.
On Friday, I said, as I was leaving, I said, listen, I have there's a 50-50 shot that we're going to be talking to you on your way back from Chicago because it seemed like something you and Casey were both really mulling over.
I would have loved to. In fact, Brent Porsche went out there, but me, just like the rest of the world, we have to be at work on Monday, and that's top priority.
Could you imagine, though, if you scored a last second, decided to go, and I mean, a game that's literally brought down to the last seconds that way. Historical.
But here's what I'm now torn about. Like, if we're getting this far, do I want to be at the last one? Do I want to be at this one, or do I want to save it up for maybe...
Not all of them.
But I also said something superstitious on Friday, Casey, and it won, so I'm just throwing it out.
All right, so we will have to ask you, Casey, honestly, I respect whatever you would like us to do as far as following protocol, because we just did it last year, but, you know, now do we do... There'll be things I maybe ask. I was actually thinking about calling you. Can I watch this or can I not?
No, you did the right thing, okay, man. You did the absolute right thing. And at a certain point in the afternoon, I saw my son sitting there playing Fortnite, which is crazy because he never plays Fortnite.
so now he's got to play next Sunday afternoon?
But he was wearing blue pants. And I was like, you little freak are you wearing? what are you doing? What? I'm like, what color are your pants? It's like they're blue. I go, you go take them off right now. Sure. You go take them off right now. He goes, no, I'm not taking them off. I go, I will rip that thing out of the wall. I will rip that PlayStation out of the wall. You will never play that again.
Did he take them off?
Of course he did.
Okay.
You know how important Fortnite is? It is like, new kryptonite.
They don't know this living in your house. They don't know that?
Casey stood up and said,
you!
No, I
how many times am I going to punch you?
That's 11! 11!
So,
11!
At some point, the Eagles...
you!
They were winning. And then my daughter decided to get up, because it was just me, my daughter, and my wife in the room watching the game. My daughter gets up from her spot on the couch and comes over and cuddles, right? I don't want the cuddles at all. I don't want them. But
not
I also,
a time for love.
No. That's what I said.
All right, so you got her out of there.
No, I didn't. Right. I also didn't want the bad juju of saying, you know, hey, love of my life.
Yeah.
Beat it, nerd.
Beat it, nerd.
But I didn't want that bad juju, so I let her cuddle with me, and then Trubisky threw like a 26-yard pass to Allen Robinson, and I just said, hey, hon, you know that...
I'm going to kill you.
That the Eagles were winning when you were all the way over there on the other side of the couch, right? And I'm like, it's probably better that you go over there. And I was trying to keep my composure. She's like, oh, man. I go, yeah. I'm like, you want the Eagles to win, right? Yeah. All right, then go back over to your other side of the couch.
I love you very much.
I love you very much.
Goodbye. Beat it, nerd.
Beat it, nerd. Get away.
All right. Anyhow, we're going to get into this discussion a little bit further. Michael Barkan is going to be on the program around 9 o'clock, so we will talk to him. So congratulations, and everybody's happy today. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second. I got some B-File stories on the way. And when 8 o'clock rolls around, if you're excited about the Eagles' win last night, how about winning $1,000 on top of that?
Yeah.
Man, would you be excited. MMR's Go Fund Yourself starts today. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill.
Alexa, enable MMR.
Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR.
Alexa, open MMR.
Let's do the B-File.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre.
Final.
All right, so I rustled up some stories for you this weekend. We're going to get to them right now. This is horrible. This is, but it is so bizarre that it's got to be in the bizarre file. You guys may have seen the headlines over the weekend, but a woman who has been in a vegetative state since she nearly drowned 10 years ago has reportedly given birth to a baby last month, prompting a sex abuse investigation at the Phoenix area nursing facility.
What?
Yes. It's hard to get more disturbing than this. The baby was born on December 29th. The baby's doing well as well.
Oh, my God.
The woman is reportedly a patient at Hacienda Healthcare in Phoenix. A source familiar with the situation said none of the staff were aware that she was pregnant until she was pretty much giving birth.
They think the situation
did it.
Hell?
No.
Oh, the regular situation. Oh,
yeah,
joking.
Yeah, no. So, this is just unbelievable.
A husband that comes by, or are they thinking?
No, I mean, no. The source said from what I've been told, she was moaning and they didn't know what was wrong with her and they found out she was pregnant. That way her body was just...
So she was
reacting that way.
Pain.
Yeah. The source said that the patient required constant care and that many people had access to her room. The facility has reportedly changed protocol after the birth. Male staff needing to enter a female room are required to bring a female employee with them. Hacienda issued a statement and said it has been in business in the Valley for over 50 years and has had an outstanding reputation providing high-quality specialized care for their patients. They can't say anything due to... federal and state privacy laws. Additionally, they can't comment on any ongoing investigations, but they are going to retool things, obviously, the way it goes.
Maybe put a lock on that door.
I was just blown away by that story.
Can they force people into DNA testing?
That's a good question. But they can't comment on the investigation as of now. But that's a horrible story. Sorry I led with that. But
the fact that the child is doing well.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing that's come out of this, I guess. So, all right, moving on. Let's go with a less heavy story. If you mess up in your marriage, a groveling, apologetic chest tattoo probably isn't the best way to repair things with the missus.
Uh-oh, I'm halfway through one.
Unfortunately, nobody seems to have shared the sage wisdom with Jose Torres, a man thought to be from Houston who got a lengthy mea culpa inked on his torso just after New Year's. An image of the tattoo in which he owns up to being a liar and a cheater has gone viral, earning derision, laughter, and face palms aplenty on social media.
It's right below the monkey hanging off my nipples.
So he wrote in the photo, nothing like some nice lettering to start your year, and shows a close-up on a man's shaved torso. The man was clearly no stranger to tattoos and already had his own name written over his belly button. But this new one is likely to be much more problematic than his past ink. The message, written from nipple to nipple and down to his belly button, reads, okay, so it's this long thing. It says, I, Jose L. Torres, am getting a tattoo voluntarily on January 2nd, 2019 so that I can earn my wife's trust back from the pain and suffering I've caused in our marriage. And then he goes on to list that he is a, quote, a liar, cheater, manipulator, deceiver, whore, prostitute lover, and dishonest and disrespectful.
He also spelled deceiver wrong.
Many people were quick to point out that there were many inaccurate spellings included in the lengthy tattoo. The artist clarified that, by the way, the guy doing the tattoo clarified that he didn't know about the misspellings and as presumably just copying exactly what the client had written down.
You know, by doing this, Preston, he's actually placed his marriage in Jeopardy.
He said, by the way, I saw that guy.
Yeah, he wanted Jeopardy and it was misspelled.
It was a tattoo that we did for him and it was misspelled. Jeopardy was misspelled to Geoparody. Anyhow, he said, I did try to tell the client it was if he was really sure about his decision. I asked him several times, but the only response I got from him was that he was sure because he messed up and he wanted it to prove that he would change. Even before I started tattooing, I asked him again and about the spelling. He said, my English is my second language. I have a really hard time with spelling. That's why I always ask the customers to make sure of the spelling. But perhaps unsurprisingly, the numerous spelling errors, disrespectful and deceiver, by the way, were spelled incorrectly. In fact, disrespectful was spelled disrespectful.
I didn't even notice that.
And I'll tell you this, he's got room for another line that he could include poor speller.
And grammatical errors were the least of the problems that internet users have with the tattoo. Many pointed out that this was a terrible way to win a woman back and would be incredibly awkward for him once he became single again.
Yes.
So keep that in mind.
It says here you're a whore lover.
Mm-hmm. A Florida man is in jail and faces a charge for domestic battery. Robert Houston became so enraged, that when he learned that his father had helped deliver him at birth, he shoved pizza in his face.
What? I don't get this.
I know.
His father helped deliver him, and he went off the deep end.
He's a Florida man. What can we say? Yeah. Yep.
Florida man.
What am I talking about? I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
Investigators don't know why that news would set the 33-year-old suspect off. They said that he held his father down in a chair and yelled at him. He said the police said the victim began to flail around trying to get the defendant off of him, at which point the defendant went outside and awaited law enforcement. When law enforcement arrived, the suspect walked up to a deputy, turned around with his hands behind him, and told them they knew that he was going to jail.
I'll teach you to deliver me.
Investigators found a slice of pizza on a chair, cheese and sauce covering the area. The father told deputies he went to walk his dogs, and Houston was on the front porch waiting for a pizza delivery. When the dad got back, that's when the chaos began.
So, Preston, is the cops are there? Does one cop take out a pencil and pick up the slice of pizza and put it in a baggie or evidence collecting? How do you even approach this?
Two other relatives corroborated the dad's story, by the way. So it happened. All right, one last story. How about this? A devoted father has revealed he discovered his three sons that he had raised of more than 20 years were not his when doctors told him that he had been infertile since birth.
Oh, my God.
Now Richard Mason's ex-wife has been ordered to pay about $400,000 following an extraordinary legal case that has allowed her to keep the identity of the real father a secret. Mr. Mason never doubted that he was the boy's biological dad until 2 years ago when he was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, an inherited disease which prevents male sufferers from fathering children naturally. And DNA and other tests later confirmed beyond a doubt that the businessman had no biological link to his eldest, who is now 23, and his 19-year-old twins, throwing his life and his relationship with them into turmoil. He believes the same man fathered all three boys during an intermittent four-year affair his wife Kate embarked on in the late 1990s, but she only confessed to the adultery in 2016, 10 years on from their divorce, when he confronted her about the child's paternity. It's not known if Mrs. Mason's former lover is aware that he has three sons from the on-off relationship. The heart-wrenching case came to light when Mr. Mason launched a legal bid to claw back some of the $6 million that his wife received in their divorce settlement.
God almighty.
As well as suing her for paternity fraud. And as a result, two of the boys have since broken off contact with their dad.
He didn't do anything. Oh, my God.
There you
go. How horrific.
That is what I have for you.
Between that and the first story.
The bizarre file this morning. I had a lot of weird stories that happened.
Super weird.
All right, so you have just a couple of more minutes up until 8:15 a.m. to get the word, our keyword for Go Fund Yourself. The word is money. Now, you don't text it to us. All right, we're going to give you a bounce back in case you do. To remind you, you have to do it through MMR's mobile app or WMMR.com. If you go on the app, you will see exactly what you need to do. Same thing with the website. So you have until 8:15. And if we randomly select you, we'll call you and we'll give you $1,000. And everybody who even attempts to enter to win will be registered for a 10,000 grand prize drawing. If you want the rules, you can get them all at WMMR.com.
Awesome.
Sweet deal. All right. So get on that. And if that wasn't enough, Casey just handed me this. We have a screening to see M. Night Shyamalan's Glass.
Whoa! Seen the new commercials?
I have.
Awesome.
I was in the theater and I saw the big extended one, and it's I cannot wait for this film. It looks so good.
It's what you've been waiting for.
Bringing all these characters together.
Yes.
It's going to be great. So I'm going to take two callers, 215-263-WMMR. So it's a week from tomorrow, and it'll be at the Ritz East at 7:30. Glass doesn't hit theaters till Friday, January 18th, so we'll get you on. Two callers, 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PrestonandSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
I love it!
Thank you, Kathy. By the way, we have a new Daily Rush video that is up and running, and the title of it is Toyotathon Babies Nick Stroke and the Official Representative of Delco. And it says, somehow the conversation switches from the best time to have a baby to Nick having a stroke and ends with a check-in from Delco.
Well, there you go.
Murphy told me it's just all over the place. I don't even remember him.
I love those.
I can't wait to watch it.
It's very indicative of the show in general.
PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. There was an article that I read last week or the week before. It was kind of interesting. It was really, really lengthy. I only skimmed it. But it made me realize that in almost each and every profession, there are people that see or experience unique things that might be like, oh, my God, you won't believe what I saw today. And this particular profession was someone was a cable technician. So
gotcha.
Works
okay.
For a cable company, goes to homes.
And sees things. This thought just occurred to me a while ago when people, because we've had some people over to the house. And you like to keep the house clean and everything, but you always think, man, they must see some, because that's all they do all day. They're going from house to house to house.
They're going into people's private
right.
Homes. So I thought it might be interesting to take some calls if you might work in that industry, and if this, I'd like to see how this goes, because I wouldn't mind maybe handpicking a specific industry and saying, what have you seen that you will be like you that you tell people, oh my God. You will not believe what I saw today.
Well,
or what has happened or what someone said to you or things that happened. And so let's go with people who work in that industry, who go door to door, who go and do these technical jobs at their homes.
Well, cable installation is a perfect one. I'll tell you why. You're going to go into the living room more than likely. You're going to go into the bedrooms. A lot of times they're running cable into the bedrooms.
And not only that, so I read this article. They have to go into the far reaches of the home.
The basement.
To find the entry points and so forth.
Exactly.
And that's what this woman who was a cable installer who said that she had to go, you know, I have to get down in the basement. And people were like, well, you can't go down in the basement. And she's like, well, okay, then we can't fix your problem that is.
Yeah.
And she essentially told one guy, she goes, look, unless you got a kid in the box, I don't care.
Yeah.
I will go to, trust me, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And here she writes a whole expose about it. But she went down into a basement one time, and there was a guy locked up in a small cage on the floor.
A submissive?
Voluntarily, he was a submissive.
Okay. A sub. All right,
so it wasn't a kidnap victim or anything like that.
My God.
And so I thought it was interesting. By the way, our number, 1-800-232.
Nope,
that's MMR.
That's Y100.
Wow.
15 years ago.
Wow.
It happened. 215-263-WMMR. Yes. Sorry, I was looking at something else. Some of these things never go away. So anyhow, and there were, you know, other things like being harassed by people, of course, sexually harassed all the time, you know, people walking in naked and stuff like that. So if you work in that business, I would love to hear your stories. If you're in the medical field, we'll get to you another time. We know
you see stuff.
You've got loads of stories, but I want to see here from the cable installers or technicians.
Yeah, Steve, you mentioned basements, and I had an exterminator come out a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And I felt like my basement was in a little bit of disorder. So I apologized and was like, it's kind of messy down there.
You always apologize.
Well, and you want your basement to look clean or whatever. Well, I had my leather mask on, so it was hard for him to understand.
Hey, there's an ashtray at the end of that pole in your mouth.
But he was just like, dude, it's nothing. You're fine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's like, and to his point, hoarders are the worst.
Oh, God.
That's a good point. I bet you cable installer, especially, how do you find... Can you even find the TV in a hoarder's house?
Yeah.
And do they actually mean don't worry about it, or are they then talking about you later when they leave and they're like, God, did you see what a mess that basement was? Because that's what I'm
thinking. Let's just send Nick McElwain keeps a small boy in a pit. When the popular President Steve show apparently likes to keep small children in a cave.
I just mentioned this, I think, last week, but my friend, she organizes closets. She'll go into people's homes and she'll organize their house, not just closets, but she said in their closet, she finds all kinds of, like, sex toys and things like that.
Of course.
Sure.
That people even forget are hidden in there.
I have a friend who works on cable for a living, and he told me the story of a co-worker of his. And he was really upset when this happened because he told me about it. He's like, man, he's like a guy that I know, one of the best people I know, was called out to do a job. He goes onto the property, the home where he was called to do the job.
Yeah, yeah.
He's black. He's African-American.
Yeah.
This guy pulled a gun on him.
What?
And threatened him. The guy who called for help and demanded that they send somebody else. This dude was black. He did. And he's like, you called me.
You called me you to called be me. Here. Pull again. He just wanted a white cable guy?
Well, yeah. Or he was, I think what happened, he probably has a fear of black people, and he saw this black on his property, pulled a gun on him, and by then it was too late once he realized who it was and you know, oh, I'm sorry.
He'd look goofy.
Yeah, exactly. But this friend of mine was, oh, my God, I saw him the day they happened.
Oh, it had to be
so
yeah.
angry and upset
Real
over
Real quick,
that.
Though, when you guys do have a service person come to your house, like a cable guy or whatever, do you...
Have them take their pants off at the door?
No, but do you hang with them?
What's
you
that?
Know, like, do you hang with them the whole time?
I hang with them enough to, but I don't want to make them think that I'm, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, they've got a job to do.
Yeah.
And they probably have another one to go to, so you don't want to interfere with what they're doing.
However, no, I'm nowhere to be seen. Like, if they need me, I tell them. I'm like, just yell if you need me.
I'm upstairs taking a bubble bath. I hope you don't come up.
Stop it.
I stay out of the way. Why do you?
By the way, there's an outlet in the bathroom too.
Why?
An outlet.
Okay. Needs to plug it.
Do you talk to him, Case?
No, I try not to for that very reason. I don't want that. You know,
I do.
Don't know why I feel so like. Well, I don't want you thinking that I don't trust you.
Listen,
but you do have a stranger in your house.
Standard protocols. First off, I thanked him for coming in. I've had a good run of people who come to the house or. Nothing, but we have the folks from Horizon out. Super professional, super nice. And it's, you know, also, I offer, would you like something to drink or whatever? It's common civility and always get a good response. But the one thing I don't want to do is indicate that I'm like on them like white on rice, mm-hmm. you know? Let them do what they're
going
to do.
Guys, in the other room, we're just going with people who work in the cable industry, okay? That's it. Yep, for now, yes. So I'm going to go to Carl. And by the way, you don't have to say what company you work
no,
for.
No, not at all.
Yeah, please don't.
Carl, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
We run into plenty of crazy things going into people's houses, from urine bottles everywhere to bugs to stripper poles.
I'm sorry, Carl. Did you say urine bottles?
Yes, pee bottles.
Wow.
Okay.
I've had to reschedule people for it.
What do you mean reschedule? Really because there was too much piss laying around?
No, the bottles weren't full.
Oh.
Yeah, they were full of pee everywhere. I'm like, your house is disgusting. You need to, you know, reevaluate your situation.
Are you by the edict of your job, are you allowed, if you show up and there are pee bottles all over the place or something like that, or you feel that it's not a hygienic situation, you can leave?
Yes.
Okay.
But my biggest one was I had a Breaking Bad situation. I went to somebody's house. This guy was rolling in dough. He had two Harley Davidson choppers. He had two Cadillac Escalades. And he's bug-eyed, something fierce. And it would have been a great money job for me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like 30 cable boxes. But he was like, "Hey, man, I want to show you something cool." I'm like, "Okay."
Oh boy.
So we start walking downstairs, and I'm like, "What is that smell?" And he's like, "Yo, check out my lab. I probably cook up so much mess on a daily basis. It's not even funny." I'm like, "Yeah, this is pretty crazy. Hey, I'm going to go out to my truck and grab my stuff. I'll be right back."
You got out of there.
I was gone. I went and told my boss. I'm like, "Yep, exactly."
Let me tell you something. First off, that stuff, those chemicals are deadly.
Yeah.
They can explode.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. When you see people, when the cops go in to raid those places, they're wearing hazmat suits.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of the cops, did you have to call the authorities?
I told my boss, and I didn't want anything else to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's what you do. You tell your superior, and they handle it from there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, interesting. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it.
Good
times.
Jesus Christ. Could you imagine you get led down past the bottles of piss to your meth lab?
I will go next to John. Hi, John. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. All right, so you're a cable tech, and you've seen a few things.
One was in an area of, I guess you could say, drugs and alcohol.
All right.
Went into the house. A gentleman was dealing right out the window.
He was dealing out the window of his house.
Out the window of his house. I was told to go upstairs because we ride to a truck in this area. I was told to go upstairs, first room on the left, put the box in there.
Okay.
I go upstairs. I knock on the door. Nobody answers.
I happened to open up the door, and I hit Grandmom, who was naked.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Oh, my God.
So,
did she say anything?
Yes. And then put the boxes in. We rolled. Another time, we opened up these lock boxes on the side of the building, and you had to disconnect people. Well, when I opened up the lock box, there was a bag of, I don't know what it was, and an entire wad full of money.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so it was where a stash is being kept.
I shut it and ran back to the thing. He's like, they disconnected? I'm like, no, let's go.
Yeah.
One Jesus. Minute one, we went to a house, and there was a camera outside. And I'm like, why is there a camera out here? So we go upstairs, and we happen to walk into the living area. There's a big picture of the gentleman at his bike. I'm like, okay, interesting. Go upstairs to where the problem is. And there is 4 TV monitors. There is mirrors on the ceiling, mirrors on the backboard, and there are Polaroids stuffed into the sides of the bed with, I guess, what he has conquered.
Okay, so these are also, he's like a sex, like a high-tech sex maniac.
Yes.
All right, and his conquests are all Polaroids on the sides of his beds.
Absolutely. We were like, okay, gotta go.
At any point did he say, have you met my grandma?
I was wondering where you went.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. All right, thanks.
Hi, Grandma.
Appreciate it, John. We'll see you. We have some good calls coming in. Let me go to Rich, cable installer. Hi, Rich. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Great, buddy. I can't wait to hear your story.
I used to be a cable installer in the Atlantic City area, and I got a call for a TV that wasn't working. I got to the house, and I walked in, and there was a naked girl in a room to the right.
Okay.
And I really wasn't paying much attention to her, but I go back in the room where the cable box wasn't working, and it was full of girls that were dressed barely had anything on.
All right, mate. So let me ask you: Are these? Do you get the impression that these are like porn actresses, or like they're doing a movie there, or what are these girls like?
It was exactly that. It was porn actresses.
Okay. All right.
They had curtains blocking all the doorways, and they had video equipment set up everywhere and bedrooms set up in all the rooms. And I didn't see any guys in the place.
Lesbian porn house.
Yeah. Rich, let me ask you this about that call. Was that like, we need you guys over here right now to fix this problem? Or had this been in the books for a little while?
That was my question.
And they were planning on that, you know, like 3-hour window where you might be swinging by.
Well, the company I worked for, we got our jobs in the morning, and we had a route that we had to go on. So that was scheduled at least a day in advance.
So, by the way, when you show up, hey, ladies, take 5.
Yeah.
Cable guys here.
Yeah, we're going to take a break here.
You know, we can stop the daisy chain and let them hook up the cable. Nothing.
Yeah, they just kept going. The room where the cable wasn't working was actually their dressing room.
Oh, okay. Girls have to watch something.
I was in there, and they were coming and going as I was in there working.
Isn't that sort of an anomaly, a porn dressing room?
Yeah, right? Did they talk to you at all, Rich?
They did. The girls were very cordial.
So what are you using, coax?
Yeah, right, exactly.
The new converter boxes, are they? What kind are you using? Yeah, and how long did this go on for?
Well, I stayed there as long as I could.
Let me go out to the truck.
Oh, that's great.
I think I may have missed my next appointment.
Oh, my God. That's too funny. But did you ask to take any pictures with them or anything like that?
No, I did not. Hmm. They would not let me use my phone for any pictures or anything.
Rich, how long have you been doing this job?
I did that for about 4 years.
About 4 years. And did you get kind of jaded to seeing strange things while you were doing it?
I saw some disgusting things. I mean, that day I called a couple of the guys I worked with, and they came and pretending like they were helping.
Yeah, we need backup. Yeah. We need backup now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't get the Disney Channel. Wow.
I've seen some houses that I couldn't believe people owned that were just enormous homes. And just crazy video and audio setups. I met Joe Lewis's boxing promoter when he was a boxer.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin too, because thanks for your call, Rich. We appreciate it. Is that in this article about a woman who's a cable installer was telling her stories of seeing weird and odd stuff, but every now and then they'd be called to somebody's house that was famous.
Yeah.
So she was called to Dick Cheney's home.
Wow.
And he's just in there in the same room while she's working on getting the cable box.
He shot her right in the face.
Right. Exactly. I forgot about that.
He was naked.
but they'll walk into somebody, either a really super uber rich, you have no idea who they are, or actually a celebrity from time to time. But they see a lot because they're going home to home all day long. I'm going to go to Joe. We're talking to people who install cable and the things they've seen. And we may branch this out to other professions if we like the way this goes. But I'll go to Joe. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Joe. What's up, man?
So the one time I go in and I have to do security also with the cable, and I have to get around to the windows. Well, this guy is a hoarder, and he said just be careful when moving around the stuff. And I asked him to move some of the stuff. He said he can't because it's in a special order.
Oh.
And I'm talking about this guy just moved in about a month before, and it boxes. It's almost to the ceiling. Well, I'm trying to move around all this stuff, and I bump into one of the boxes. When the box shifts, kind of falls over, he flipped out, like threw me out. And I'm talking about like literally grabbing my stuff and throwing it and flipped out about it.
Wow.
How are you possibly expected to work in a situation like that? I mean, there's no, at that point, do they just shut the cable off? Or, I mean, you know, it's that's a no-win situation.
Yeah, I basically said that, you know, I'll try to get some stuff done. I mean, it was my last job of the day. I was just trying to get it done and over with.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have to go back if it happened to be me that, you know, for any reason. So I went in, but after that, I said, nope, I'm never going back there. You can send somebody else. I am not.
Yeah, Joe, do they have a protocol for you if you show up to a residence and you're like,
no,
I can't do this? I mean, what do you do? You call your superior?
Yeah, for my company, I could just call them and be like, look, I'm not doing this. This is insane.
When you show up to the dispatch in the morning, is there like a dry erase board with a line that says hoarders and then next to it porn movies?
I had one of the guys I work with walked in one time, and this 70-year-old woman in a robe and nothing else on answers the door, and she knew he was coming. And she was kind of forward with him, and, you know, oh, my robe slipped.
Oh, no.
Do you like loose meat sandwiches? Because I got one.
And we now print out pictures of old grannies and put them on his desk.
Oh, of course God. You do.
I would imagine that would be incredibly frequent. So, old grandma getting a rise out of the cable guy.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man. You know what? Let's stick with the grandmother thing for a moment. Yeah. I am going to go to Brandon. Hi, Brandon. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, I was a cable guy for about 5 years.
Yep.
Did a job in North Philly. It was a young lady and her grandmother. Grandma was in the back room. Most of the communicating that I did between them as far as how I was going to set everything up was initiated in that back room. So did the whole job, completed everything, showed them how to work the cable boxes. I had to run out to the truck to grab the phone because everything is, you know, through the phone. You have to sign off. So I communicated that to the granddaughter, but not to the grandmother. So I went out to the truck, came back in, and started to walk up the steps. And I walk in the back room, and the grandma's full frontal. I mean, like, gray bush.
Oh, my God.
Grandma?
Everything. I mean, I got a good look, and I just was like, oh, I'm so sorry. The grandmother screamed.
Nice beaver.
And the granddaughter came out the front room.
Oh, my God.
Asked me what's going on, and, you know, her grandmother told her what happened. And I just apologize to the granddaughter as well. And I hear the grandmother say, well, I hope you enjoyed it.
Take a picture. It lasts longer.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And real quick on famous people. I did the guy for Under Armour. He owns that company.
Okay.
And while I was doing his house, the quarterback for the Panthers, Cam Newton, was there also.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
What was that house like? That must be gigantic.
Yeah, it was huge. And, like, our company, well, that company was real secretive about it. Like, they wouldn't tell us who he was.
Of course.
Like, you know, when you go there, don't talk to him. You know, just keep it real professional. But, I mean, he was cool. He asked us if we wanted a picture. It was me and another coworker of mine. Asked if we wanted to take a picture and stuff. So, he was cool.
Nice. Brandon, do you, like, a call like that comes in, you're going there. Are you secretly kind of fantasizing in the back of your mind, maybe this guy will really like me a lot?
Yeah.
And offer me something, you know?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, it's funny because the people that you least expect, like, we're not supposed to take, well, we wasn't supposed to take tips.
Yeah.
But the people that you at least expect, you know, to give a tip, those would be the ones that give the biggest. That's, you know, cool. some people.
Hey, did Cam Newton show you his bush? Look at this.
Did the Under Armour guy give you any free gear or anything like that?
No, he was cool, too. He was, surprisingly, he wasn't that old either. I mean, for you know, to own that type of company.
Yeah.
They was fairly cool. I mean, they talked to us for a little bit. You see a lot of weird stuff, bugs, just people arguing.
Oh, of course. You're just standard stuff.
That's another. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. That's another thing. I'll bet you that that cable installers and other types of workers that come into your home to do this type of work will catch people that just either don't care and start throwing their dirty laundry out at each other and having a fight, or it's just too big. Yeah, they just ignore the fact that there's a stranger there.
Well, I have to imagine a lot of them show up because cable boxes have been ripped out of walls and stuff like
that.
Or, you know, post-fights, of course.
Yeah. Let me go to Scott real quick. Hi, Scott, you're on the air. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay. All good, man. What's up?
I had the other side of this. I used to go in when the cable got turned off and would have to collect the box.
Oh, that's got to be worse.
And the two main things would be the boxes in some of the houses weren't exactly clean. So our motor, we'd have to go in, put these boxes in bags because the cockroaches would go into the boxes because they were warm and dark and lay their eggs there.
Okay, so here's the deal. And I've seen it. You go into an apartment, or if you ever go house hunting or whatever, and the house has been left empty, but the cable boxes are still there because they never, you know, turn those in or whatever. So that was your job, was to go collect those.
So we'd have to collect them, and every once in a while they'd say, what do we have to do to cable back on? And we weren't allowed to accept cash, and we couldn't take credit cards. But they just write checks that maybe 1 out of 10 would actually go through. But once they wrote it, but we walked in one time, my partner and I, into a drug deal that was going on.
Whoops.
And the guy just looked at us, and we both went, we're just here for the cable, man. We don't care.
Yeah.
God almighty, can you, I guess you can't carry any self-defense.
No, you're not allowed.
Right.
It's not allowed. You're out there on your own.
Yeah.
Wow, and I guess that's the best though, Scott. You just kind of none of my business, man.
Oh yeah, and basically they just went the cable back on. They don't care what we see, what we do.
Just trying to make sure,
Yep, and once they give us a check, we'll call in, they'll turn it on, they're like, all right, have a nice day, and we are out the door.
Wow. I imagine the drug dealers wanted to get Sprout back on.
Pretty much.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
It makes me not worry about, like, my messy basement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about the basement. What you need to see is the boudoir.
Boudoir.
HD television. 4K.
I'm going to go next to Mark. Hi. Mark, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Not much. We did a job and warned another guy I was riding with back over the summer. It's probably about July. It's an older-looking ranch house in kind of like a lower rundown area. We go in there. It stuff's halfway piled to the ceiling in this place. None of the walls are really accessible at all. And they want to put like 5 or 6 boxes in. We'd have to run lines to all these boxes because nothing was there. Move all the stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
So we're thinking it's going to suck doing all this. Go downstairs, and you start picking up this smell. Apparently, the couple of days before, their sewage pipe had broke,
they had a black trash bag over it, and half the basement was filled with...
Half the basement was filled with sewage?
Yeah, just enough that you could kind of see it was there. It wasn't like a couple inches, maybe like a half inch one, but on the whole half side of the house, it went to do most of the work in.
Oh, dear my God.
God, have you ever smelled raw sewage?
It's horrifying.
Unbearable. It's so, absolutely unbearable.
How much discretion do you have if you're in a situation like that, which can be, it's a bit of a biohazard? Can you just say, can you call up your dispatcher, your boss, and say, we're not doing this?
Yeah, something like that. They won't let you work in there.
All right.
Something disgusting like that, so they got no problem with doing
it. But fortunately,
that.
They have no such rules pertaining to porn stars.
No.
Yeah.
God. Oh, my God. All right. Thanks, Ben. If you're just tuning in, we're doing Confessions of a Cable Guy.
Yes.
This morning. And it was an article that I saw written by a female cable installer. And it was a lengthy list of things that she's seen and experienced over the time, not just seeing bizarre things, but having people say weird things to her, proposition her.
Well,
and, you know.
They're comfortable. They're at home.
Yeah.
They're like totally relaxed.
Yep.
That's why Granny can show you her Phil Donahue Bush.
Gray Bush and everything, man. I'm going to go next to Harry, who's got a story. Hey, Harry, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
All right. So a while back, I haven't done it in a long time. I work for a cable company, and I'm in Philly. I do a full install, phone, internet, television, all 9 yards. So when I got done, I had to use the bathroom. So I go upstairs, and I do my business, and I look down, and there's no toilet paper.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had to use my phone to call the people whose phone I just hooked up. So I'm up on the one. First of all, I had to walk around with my pants around my ankles to try to find toilet paper.
Oh no!
And yeah.
I've been there.
So I'm walking around laughing at myself. I'm like, I wish someone could see this. So I call them, and they're like, hello. I'm like, yeah, I'm a cable guy. Do me a favor. You're out of toilet paper. So I hear them laughing downstairs.
Yeah.
So she has to come up and open the door and throw all the toilet paper to me. So.
So you had to call the people of the house you were working on to let them know that you needed toilet paper upstairs.
Yeah. Well, they were surprised to use the phone because I just installed it.
You're the first call.
You're the first call.
First call, I'm out of toilet paper. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the worst part. The worst part, but I also found a dead body.
You found a dead body.
I would leave with the dead body story over the toilet paper. Where'd you find the dead body and how?
Yeah. Well, we were doing a big thing for over in Jersey for the apartment building. And they had a security open up all the units. And the security guard comes out and says, hey, Bob, that's my buddy. Can you check this out? And he calls me over. Bob calls me over. So we go in. And it's around Halloween time.
All right, so it's around Halloween. Okay, your phone line is really, really bad, yeah. Believe it or not. It's
yes, for a phone installer.
But continue.
That was years ago. So he opens the door, and we look over, and there's a body, sitting on the floor with a shotgun.
Oh, geez.
And yeah. So the security guard goes over, and he's reaching for the gun. He thinks it's a Halloween display. We're like, whoa, dude. So, so they shut down the job. It was a guy who had actually committed suicide.
He committed suicide with the shotgun?
Wow.
Yeah. He was going to grab it. We were like, dude, what are you doing? Stop.
Wow. So was there a smell? Do you know how recently it occurred, obviously?
It had just happened like a few hours before.
Dear God.
Wow. And wait a minute. You got to backtrack a second here. Was anybody home to let you in?
Well, yeah, it was the security guard. He was going
security guard.
On the door so we could get into the unit to do these installs.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy was laying on the floor. It was very disturbing. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I would say that'd be disturbing.
Yeah, I think so.
The guy, by the way, in apartment 3C just committed suicide with a shotgun, but the door's unlocked.
I didn't use his bathroom.
By the way, there's no toilet paper in there, so take care.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Harry. Appreciate it. Wow. Okay. Very, very interesting. I knew we would have some people who had stories. But you walk into people's personal lives, even though they may be expecting you, sometimes they forget about it.
Yes.
Like, oh, come on
it's
in.
It's grandma's bush.
Just try not to step on grandma's bush when you go into the bathroom.
Ow!
that hurts.
Oh, but interesting.
Don't mind the chained up man.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. We do appreciate it. I'm sure you've seen some odd things over the years, and maybe we'll get on to other professions at some point in time. We do need to take a break, though, because our buddy Michael Barkan is going to be joining us shortly. Yes, we're going to relive that wonderful night last night as the Birds won.
Amazing.
Moved on to the next round of playoffs, and we'll see Michael's take on that and what the coming obstacles have for the Birds. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors. If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to HannahStone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Kat. Before we get our next guest on the line, I'm going to play back just a little bit of the audio of the guy freaking out leaving the game last night. And then I have Marissa do an edit. I have no idea if it'll be any good or funny or not, but I thought it would be kind of interesting.
How much opportunity do you need? How many missed kicks is Cody Parkey going to hit this year? 11! 11! That's how many! 11! You, Cody! You!
So I have Marissa do this. I have no idea if this will be any good or not, but let me hear this. Hang on a second.
These guys who...
11!
Okay.
These guys who...
11!
Unbelievable.
Guy was a little unhappy.
Yeah.
Let's get a foremost authority on the line, and somebody was really excited when this happened last night, per the video of him and the guys in the studio. Last night. It's pretty damn cool. Please welcome our good friend from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mr. Michael Barkan.
Yay!
Hey, man.
Good morning, wonderful people. How are you?
We're good. How are you, bud?
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm still bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
I slept about an hour and a half. I went over all the plays from last night. I'm going through the playbook for Sunday. I'm getting the party ready. I've got the dip on freeze. It's going to be amazing.
You got to do it?
Yeah. When do you get home, by the way? When did you get home after work last night?
Marissa was asking me that while I was waiting. It wasn't that bad. We got off the air at 10. I probably walked out of there at like 11:15 because we're discussing the game and talking about everything that happened throughout the game, looking ahead to next week. And so I probably got out of there like 11:15 or so.
Okay.
And by the time I got to sleep, it was I guess about 1 or 1:30. And here I am.
Yeah, here you are. Well, because I had you know, the game was over before 8 o'clock last night, and I still had a hard time falling asleep after 10. I was still I was just so geeked up from everything, and I couldn't believe how it all shook out, and I was like, and so I had to take some melatonin in order to calm myself to fall asleep. Yeah.
I took some melatonin. I took serotonin.
You would, anything with a tonin you were taking.
Yes.
So it was observed earlier on the show that last year, you know, we talked to you often all the way up to, and I don't want to say anything, but other games and important games. I don't want to jinx anything. But it is, it certainly has a familiar feel, doesn't it?
It does have a familiar feel, especially now that they've won a game, and if they have to get to that game you were referring to now, they're going to have to win them all on the road, which is cool, whatever it takes. But, yeah, there does seem to be a familiar feel about it. And what the heck, they are the reigning Super Bowl champions. And now you're hearing guys like Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox in the locker room saying, yeah, I feel like it's last year. That's what they're saying, which I love to hear. And this team struggled. In the first, 10 games of the season, they were 4-6, 4-4 at the halfway point. And I think a lot of that we don't like to talk about it. I said it many times on the show before. We don't like to talk about injuries. They're an excuse. It's like the sun got in my eyes, and it's not sexy to talk about injuries. But the fact of the matter is, you're missing Jay Ajayi. You're missing Derek Barnett. You're missing Jalen Mills. You're missing Ronald Darby, and that's just scratching the surface of it. And you're talking about starters, especially in the secondary, and you're wondering why the defense is getting torched for points. But still in all, I still think they should have won the Carolina game. Absolutely. They should have won the Tennessee game. Absolutely. They should have been, I think, right there, if not won Minnesota. So those are three games where you turn that around. Maybe they're hosting, maybe, I don't know about a first-round bye, but maybe they're hosting a playoff game this coming week. But
yeah, maybe.
As it comes.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, and then you're playing in New Orleans against a Saints team that went 13-3. But for all intents and purposes, they went 14-2. That last game of the season, you can't really count as a loss because nobody was playing.
Right.
But you know, I just look at all of these teams. I'm looking at the Saints' schedule. You know, they lost the first game of the season, kind of a fluky loss to the Buccaneers, and then somehow the Cowboys beat them. In late November, and I just want to ask you. Yes, I want to ask you as your professional opinion. And I know any given Sunday, blah blah blah. But do the Eagles even have a shot this weekend?
I absolutely think they have a shot. In fact, Reuben Frank from NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, my colleague over at NBC Sports, he said, normally I make my pick Friday. I'm making it right now. They are going to beat the New Orleans Saints. And I wouldn't go that far yet, although you know I'm going to pick them come Sunday on the pregame show. I really think they do have a chance. I think this team was in disarray when they played them back in November. I think that a Super Bowl champion had never lost by that kind of margin. It was a 48-7 score. They just got embarrassed. And you recall after that game that Malcolm Jenkins, the former Saint, won a Super Bowl with them, gave the finger to Sean Payton, his coach. And, you know, he kind of sloughed it off like, I was just joking around. I hope it's Payton, giving the finger to Malcolm Jenkins Sunday, because that would be turnabout being fair play. And I think they got a chance. But the Saints have a great team, obviously, starting with Drew Brees. And then you look at their running back, they're all everything back in Alvin Kamara. And they're a tough team to stop. They really are.
I want to ask you something because, you know, obviously your level of expertise and how long you've been observing the game. And to me, who's more of a you know, I love the sport and certainly support the team. But is Nick Foles, is his unflappable nature sort of enigmatic and difficult for opposing teams to get a hold of? Because he seems so machine-like, you know, he does not seem to be able to be thrown off his game.
Yeah, I think there's a term in sports, Steve. We say, I'm sure you say it in the radio biz too, stay within yourself. Stay in your lane, stay what makes you comfortable, because in that way you'll be most successful. And I think that's what happens with Nick Foles. I think they keep the playbook in his comfort zone. I think they make sure that there's always an outlet pass for him to make. And look, he didn't make all the passes. He missed 10 or 15 passes. I forget what his exact numbers were. If you looked at the numbers for Nick Foles, he missed 15. He was 25 of 40 for 266 yards. He got sacked once, threw two interceptions along with the two touchdowns. And if you looked at that line, you'd say, well, that wasn't that great. But then when you see how he led this team back, how he had a game-winning drive again. This is not the first time he did it. And I was saying that about him last year. People were whining about the Oakland Raiders game, which was a win. Yeah, but he really didn't look good in the Raiders game. Are you kidding me? He led. Yeah, did they play well? Did he play well? No. But he led the team down the field to a game-winning field goal. The bottom line is there a W or an L at the end of that game?
Yep.
And there was a W, and the same with yesterday. By the way, Cody Parkey, my goodness.
Dear God.
So he
says after the game, well, my wife will still love me, and my dog will still love me. My dog didn't know you missed a kick.
Yeah.
you mean your late dog?
Oh, you, Cody! You!
Well, so, Barkin, I'm really interested to see what happens next weekend, but before we get to that, I'm still really enjoying what happened last night, and my reaction was what I assume what like most people's reaction was just complete disbelief. I expected him to make it, and then it bounced off the upright and then off the crossbar. It didn't even, and Collinsworth pointed this out last night, it landed on the crossbar wrong for the Bears and right for the Eagles. It bounced out instead of over and in. And it was just, for me, I sat back down and said, oh my God, about a million times. And I loved your reaction when the miss happened as well.
Yeah, that was, look, we call them, as I said on the show last night, we call them as we see them. If the team plays great, we say the team played great. If they stunk it up, we say they stunk it up. But make no mistake, and I'm speaking for myself, I want the Eagles, I want every Philadelphia team to win every single game if possible. So, yeah, I wanted them, I wanted that kick to hit the upright and then the crossbar and the other upright before it went out and was no good. So it was just such a thrill. And I thought, I wonder if this is what it's like to win the lottery, you know, because who didn't think we got no shot here? I mean, this is a 42, 43-yard field goal. This is what NFL kickers do. I know that he's had trouble, but come on. It's the playoffs. He's at home. The fans are cheering him on. He just made the what turned out to be a practice kick because Doug Peterson called timeout at the perfect time, which was the point, and he put it through. I'm thinking he's going to win this, and the season's over. But that's not what happened, and it's just heaven, really. It's just ecstasy watching that and knowing that they're still alive to try to defend their title. And by the way, I don't know if there's a certain point, because how many thought, I guess even, 5 weeks ago, that they would be in this position at 4-6, and then now they've won 4 straight games and 5 out of their last 6 games, and they're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. You know, at what point now, we want them to win, sure, but is it okay if they bow out to the Saints? No one's going to be saying, oh, they should have won, right?
Well, I mean, if they put up a fight, you know, if they lose 48-7 on Sunday, you know, that's going to sting. But, you know, if they, you know, I don't even want to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, let's just see how it all plays out on Sunday. But, you know, I want to draw a couple of parallels here, because there was an amazing field goal that was hit by Jake Elliott last year against the Giants that really kind of propelled the Eagles and I don't know, it like lit a fire under them and they took off after that. Can they get that same momentum from a missed field goal, or can this kind of go in the opposite direction? And was that, you know, the highlight of the season, what happened last night?
No, I think they certainly can get a momentum from that case. I really do. But it's the field goal, the missed field goal led to the win. And I think from the win, they can get so much more confidence, and I think really put themselves in a place where they can knock off the Saints. And hey, that's why they play them. And if you're in Chicago, no one thought that the Eagles were going to beat the Bears. Everybody thought the Bears were going to win. Bears were they were 6-point favorites. I think the Eagles are now 8.5 to 9-point underdogs. Last I checked after the game last night, I don't know what the line is now. So once again, they're in that underdog role, and I think that can propel them. I think the missed field goal certainly propels them, and they're going to put a run together. And if they beat the Saints, then they got either the Rams or the Cowboys, and wouldn't that be great to go down to Dallas and knock them off after Dallas beat us twice?
That was another thing I was looking at, is no matter what, like, you know, if their postseason continues on, they're going to be playing in nice weather for the rest of the season, you know, either domed weather or nice-ish weather. So that's going to be good for them.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Although I don't think if you're one of the team members, I don't think you care whether it's indoors or outdoors or in warm weather climate. It doesn't make a difference. You're just happy that you're playing the game.
Yeah, but me as a fan, I don't want to see any sloppy, rainy game. You know what I mean? Like, I would prefer to see my team playing in optimal conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's always best for the skilled players, certainly Nick Foles, and Wendell Smallwood, and I didn't mention Corey Clement. I mean, he's out too. You talk about some of these guys that are missing and how important that is. And I think that's the other thing, that over the past weeks, you're having guys learn the positions that they've only been playing sparingly.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, they need to go full time, and there's a learning curve there. So you look at Cravon LeBlanc. Sounds like a fine wine. He's a fine
it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
I would take some Cravon LeBlanc. But you know, I really, Avonte Maddox made some great plays. And I think you're going to see these guys continue to grow into the positions. If they can get past New Orleans, look, they beat the Rams at L.A. this season. They beat them last season. I don't think that's a guarantee. They certainly shouldn't get cocky over that if they do beat New Orleans. And I think they should have beaten the Cowboys in the second game against the Cowboys. So, but that's the beautiful thing about sports. We can speculate all we want. They haven't played the game yet.
Right,
so
right.
We can talk about a second parade. Well, we can talk about going to the Super Bowl. That's the beauty of it, and I think it brings us all together. It's a wonderful thing. It's awesome.
Well, you said earlier about staying in their lane, and I was just curious, as you look at the year, they come into the year as Super Bowl champions, and so that was, you know, that's a that's a different mindset, and it seems that things fire on all cylinders when they got back to a little bit of the underdog status. And can you speak to that dynamic and what their mindsets were at coming in one way and then going back to what they were familiar with?
Yeah, Steve, I think that's a great point. I think maybe whether they'd admit it or not, if you're a Super Bowl champion, look, Nick Foles wrote a book. Doug Peterson wrote a book. Your off season is shorter because you played long. You played the very last game of the previous season. And I think maybe you start smelling yourself just a little bit. And I don't think they had a particularly good training camp. I certainly don't think they had good preseason games. And that stuff matters.
Yeah.
You look at Super Bowl champions and you look at their preseason record, and I'm not saying that it's undefeated, but they usually make a good showing. And the starters during those games did not look good. And Carson Wentz certainly was in a different role as the spotlight was on him. Once again, he's the starter, and he's trying to make things happen. I think he pressed perhaps just a little bit too much. And they beat that Atlanta team in the first game, and that, remember, they knocked them off in the playoffs, and we thought, wow, they're off and running, and then they lose to Tampa Bay, and really that game wasn't even close. I think they made it within a score by the end of the game, but it wasn't even that close. And so it was a struggle, and you'll recall that they put the logo of Super Bowl 52 high up in the locker room, and the players went to Doug Peterson and said, let's take that down. We won. We all know we won. We don't need that. That's last year. Let's focus on this year. And they still struggled. And a lot of that was because of the injuries. And I think everybody's trying to get used to each other in a whole new season again, and guys playing different positions. So it took a while.
Yeah,
I absolutely think it took a while. And I think Doug, what he did special yesterday is something that he was a little bit reluctant to do during the bulk of the season. He ran the ball yesterday, especially in that first half, even though he didn't have a huge amount of success with it. They averaged about less than 2 yards per carry yesterday. Are you kidding me? Normally, in a win, you're up over 4 yards per carry. They averaged less than two, but Doug stuck with it. And I think that helps open up the passing game because the defense doesn't know, are they running the ball or are they passing the ball? And I thought, kudos to Doug for a great game. He called a great game.
Well, Michael, yeah, clearly everybody's walking around happy today, a little extra spring in their step. You're excited. What are you going to do with all this this extra energy today?
Well,
you're going to start a paper route?
I think I'm going to go to the playground.
I thought for sure you were saying, well, it's all about Mrs. Barkan today.
I'll take that under advisement.
I'm sorry. I don't know if we mentioned this, but I'm just reading this now. I don't know if this is true. Did we mention this about Nick Foles receiving a $1 million bonus after the game last night?
Yeah. We didn't mention it, but I saw that story. Yeah.
Did that really happen? Did they make good on that percentage of plays being played this season?
Well, there were two things. I think there was $1 million. There were three different, and I forget the last checkpoint, but there were three different checkpoints where he could have gotten the money, and one of them was percentage of I guess completion percentage, and he barely missed that last week in the last game of the regular season. So I guess they, after last night, they gave him the money, and I forget what the reason was. But yeah, he is.
You think it was penmanship?
It was penmanship. And you know what? He signs a great football. He really,
Michael, I wanted to bring up something. You've been to a place where we all were. We broadcast from a few years back. You were just in St. Martin, but you also went to Anguilla, and I wanted to ask what that was like.
Anguilla?
Yeah.
I love Anguilla. I mean, the beaches. I love St. Martin as well, but Anguilla is, you can actually see Anguilla from St. Martin. It's that close. There's a cluster of islands right there in the West Indies. And you take the ferry, we went over there, and there's a great beach there called Meads Bay.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. The sand's like flour. They got a great spot there called Blanchard's, and where you can get great food right on the beach. And then just watch the yachts go by.
Now, the rumors are they're getting a franchise down there in Anguilla as well. Is that true?
Well, you know what, Steve? I'm not prepared to talk about that, but I have some investors. And the Anguilla Argonauts.
The Anguilla Argonauts.
I actually ran into Michael on the long-term parking bus at the airport.
Yeah, really?
When he was on the way to Anguilla one day.
That's funny.
He would sit there and I hear... Hey, press. I'm like, Barkan, what are you doing here?
I don't know, but let me hold that strap.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right. Can I one more thing?
Yes, absolutely.
If you want a chance to go to New Orleans to see the game, I have a way that you can get two tickets, and it's through our charity, the Barkan Foundation.
Nice.
And we provide dollars for those who are going through absolute tragedies in their lives. And who are underserved. And so if you go to the BarkanFoundation.org for $25 maybe, you can put yourself into a drawing. And if you win, you got great tickets to see the Eagles at New Orleans.
And you will actually give the winner their tickets?
I will. Who didn't do that? I will actually give the winner the tickets.
Okay, absolutely. Good.
Yeah, you know that. It's going to be an awesome game. It's going to be it'll be an awesome. I think postseason is going to continue on for a little bit, which is going to be cool.
All right, nice. How about NBC Sports Philadelphia coverage and so forth? Is there anything in particular?
Absolutely. All the news conferences will be streamed on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. We got Ray Dittinger's video notebook. He's got the key stats of the week. We got a Q&A with fans. Featuring Ray and Amy Fadul, Derek Gunn and Barrett Brooks call a simulated game on Madden Thursday after Quick Slants. We'll have guests from New Orleans talking about the Saints. And then, of course, our Mission 53 coming up on Wednesday. That'll be at 6 o'clock. And it's going to be a great week as the Eagles try to get to the NFC Championship game. Cool. And then Sunday, we've got our Sixers pregame show. We got our Sixers on at 12:30 pregame. And then they play the Knicks, and then we're going to get into the Eagles after that, 3 p.m. until 4:40 when kickoff starts, and then the postgame show when the clock hits zero, we're there for you.
Nice. Excellent. All right, Mike, thanks for the heads up. Always great to talk to you, brother, and we'll be in touch soon, okay?
Likewise. Thanks, gang. Have a great day.
Love it. Michael Barkan, guys.
Yeah.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best in the biz, in my opinion, so he feels good. Feels good about this weekend.
I like that. We'll see.
Listen, I'm trying to keep it all metered. I went into the game last night. I'm like, all right, let's...
Whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yep.
And actually, I was, it wasn't just because the kids were there and stuff like that. Like, I'm just happy. I feel like it kind of like last season. Right now, we're playing with house money, so let's just enjoy it.
All right, fair enough. I like it. Hey, I would like to, we're going to take a break, but I'd like to give away a couple more passes to the screening of the movie Glass that we have coming up. It's a week from tomorrow. We'll be at the Ritz East at 7:30. Really excited about this movie and our buddy M. Night Shyamalan finally releasing this story, these movies all converging together.
The culmination of the trilogy.
Hits theaters nationwide on Friday, January 18th. We'll take callers 10 and 11, and we will give you some tickets to go see that movie on us. 215-263-WMMR. Going to take a break. Come back in a second. Still got a bunch of great stories for the Bizarre File I want to share with you when we get back. Stay there.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill.
Alexa, enable MMR.
Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR. Alexa, open MMR.
All right, got some stories in the form of the Bizarre File. We're going to do that now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts, the new handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary.
limited time offer. Well, limping while walking out of a restaurant, Steve Shepard may have looked like a mugger's dream come true. Shepard, who is 68 years old, was about halfway to his car outside of Anita's Mexican restaurant when he became the crime victim who turned his attacker into a punching bag. All of a sudden, Shepard said, bam. He said the man who appeared to be in his 20s hit him in the back of the head with a bottle.
Wow.
And then ambushed him, demanding his cell phone. So he just did it. The guy didn't even see it coming. Shepard blacked out, but for just for a few seconds, he says, the guy started yelling at me, give me your effing phone. And I started thinking, well, maybe I picked the wrong phone at the restaurant up. Shepard said the crook was angry and didn't stop attacking. Bystanders tried to break it up. In a boxer's pose, Shepard threw his right fist at his attacker, who protectively put his hands up. And Shepard said his ribs were exposed, so I hit him in the ribs, and I just heard a crack, and he drops. You know what the attacker didn't know? Shepard is the 5-time world kickboxing champion.
Oh, man.
And was inducted into the Palm Beach County Sports Hall of Fame nearly 3 decades ago. So he's a world champion. He said, my claim to fame is I beat up the guy who knocked out Mike Tyson. Shepard owns actually Kickbox Superfit in downtown West Palm Beach and was training to return to the ring as the oldest professional fighter in the country. The injured mugger eventually took off and is being sought by authorities. Shepard theorizes that he may have looked vulnerable as he limped out of the restaurant having pulled a muscle in his leg recently. During the incident,
here's an easy mark.
Shepard did suffer a small cut and bruising around his left eye. He also was recovering from a ruptured eardrum from getting hit in the head by that bottle. But he believes he broke the guy's rib, so they are still looking for the guy. So thankfully,
he knows how to pick him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a quick reminder that there is, in case you didn't know this, a band of feral monkeys running wild in Central Florida that carry a type of herpes that's lethal to humans.
Yeah. So great to be a feral monkey with herpes, isn't it, fellows?
The mischievous simians, who are not shy around people, can transmit deadly...
Why didn't you want to kiss me?
Can transmit deadly disease with just a scratch, nip, or a fling of poop.
Oh, my God. It just keeps getting more wonderful.
Last year, experts warned that the rhesus macaques are a public health threat, and it now seems that the monkey business is likely to get worse, with a wildlife expert revealing that their population is set to double in the next few years. Last year, they estimated about 25% of Florida's population of freewheeling monkeys carries a deadly virus known as Macacine Herpivirus 1, or MCVH1.
Wasn't this the plot to Outbreak?
Herpes B, or monkey B virus. The monkey's herpes affects them much like human herpes affects us. The virus infects nerves and can go dormant until the immune system is stressed or weakened, at which point the virus can erupt typically around the mouth or genitals.
Oh, my God.
But in humans, MCVH1 can cause flu-like illness. It can progress to neurological problems such as double vision and paralysis. And at that point, infected person is likely to die of the infection.
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
Yeah, so they're trying to find
herpes
these
monkeys.
By the way, the population got its start during the 1930s and 40s when the captain of a glass-bottom boat released a handful of macaques on an island in Florida's Silver River to amuse tourists. The monkeys, which are excellent swimmers, by the way, established in surrounding Silver Spring State Park and nearby Ocala National Forest. So beware of the herpes-carrying monkeys in Florida, the type of herpes that'll kill you, by the way.
Oh, my God.
A Toronto man accused of trying to enter the White House and drink Crown Royal with Donald Trump and get his advice on love has been ordered held pending a mental health assessment.
Oh, they think he's crazy?
Yanni Georgopoulos was arrested by Secret Service officers in a restricted area outside of the presidential mansion just after midnight on Wednesday. He allegedly told officers he wanted to bring 2 bottles of the Canadian whiskey to the president and get his advice on finding a wife. The alcoholic gift would have little sway with the commander-in-chief, whose lifelong abstinence from alcohol is well known. Georgopoulos was subsequently arrested for unlawful entry under District of Columbia Code. Little is known about his background or criminal history in Canada. Prosecutors were concerned that during his brief court appearance, he didn't seem capable of following instructions from either the judge or counsel. So he didn't get in.
That's odd. They usually open the doors right up for people like that.
Wedding day hijinks are all fun and games until the bridegroom gets chased out into traffic, hit by a car, and ends up suing the wedding guest. The incident happened in China, where wedding hazing is a tradition dating back to the days of arranged marriages. Now, back then, friends and family members played jokes to break the ice between the bride and groom as they met for the first time. The ritual is also believed to ward off evil spirits. But in the case of 24-year-old Ai Guntao, His friends went too far after throwing eggs, beer, and ink on the groom-to-be as he went to pick up his future wife at her house. They ultimately stripped him to his underwear, taped him to an electrical pole, and then beat him with a bamboo stick.
What a great hazing.
That sounds like fun.
Isn't this great, guys?
Then
I'm not having fun.
The final straw, I told the local website that he got so fed up with the group when they poured ink on his face. He said, someone was chasing me, and I couldn't see very well because of the ink. Then somehow I ran onto the motorway with someone tailing me behind.
He that's cut his balls off.
He said, hey, I got an idea.
Hey, I got an idea.
Yeah. A BMW crashed into the road barricade trying to avoid him and then careened into him anyway, knocking him to the ground.
Oh, well, he's down there pooping his mouth.
He ended up in the hospital for 3 weeks with internal bleeding and a skull fracture.
Oh, man.
And police also found him responsible for the accident.
Let's inject air bubbles into him.
And thus the damage to the BMW as well. The car insurance company hit him with a $4,372 bill. He says that now he has to sue his friends. The group had already admitted fault and contributed money toward his medical expenses. I and his bride had already officially wed before the big day, as many do in China, and there was no ceremony after things went awry.
So wedding hazing. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's a tradition that they still carry on over there. So I guess I don't know if it's like a bachelor party or something like that where they just go and kind of victimize you a little bit or not. But anyhow.
They don't cut your balls off.
No, they don't cut your balls off. Not yet. All right, and there you go. That's what I got in the B-file for you. We're going to take another break, come back in a second. When we return, we'll see if you've been paying attention this morning. We'll have a question about today's show. It's called the Lesson Question and a prize associated with that. We'll also get into the trash and music news back in a minute. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Might get some rain tonight, the heads up on that, but clouds and comfy tomorrow, 50. And then Wednesday, that changes. We drop another 10 degrees, and then it's going to be cloudy and windy, and then it's going to be cold for the foreseeable future after that.
It's like a bouncing ball, isn't it?
That's kind of what it is, man. We have yet, listen, knock on wood, we haven't had a big snowstorm yet. The days are getting a little bit longer.
They are.
Since we've gone past the winter solstice.
I've been back in shorts.
I've been paying attention to when the sun rises and sets, and by the end of next week, it will set after 5 p.m. Little things like that go a long way. Seasonal affective disorder is a real thing, and so daylight helps.
Yeah, and
we might be getting a little bit of a wintry mix tonight.
Yay! Yeah, Bucks County, and they say it'll turn to rain is the forecast.
Okay.
So an icy, a wintry mix that will go away or be 7 feet of snow.
Let's go to the meteorologist desk. Steve Morrison.
Absolutely. I pay attention.
So, I was reminding myself, even though I saw that the days are getting longer, it's like February is when we normally get nailed with some serious snow. Late in January, February.
We've said it many times. It ran well into the end of the year, and that's when we had that conga line of blizzards.
Mm-hmm.
The nor'easter in March.
In March. Last year. Precisely.
And that knocked down a tree in my yard, and my yard has not looked right ever since.
Yep.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget. True.
All right, we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Home Show. And the question I have for you this morning is, what terrible thing happened to Kendall Jenner after she got acne?
Yeah.
There was another thing. 215-263-WMMR. What terrible thing happened to Kendall Jenner after she got acne? You had to have been listening. Guessing ain't going to work. 215-263-WMMR. That's why we do the lesson question. See if you were listening earlier today. While you're calling in, we're going to do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, I'm sure you got some stories for us. What are they?
Absolutely. Sources close to a strange couple, Cardi B and Offset, saying they have every confidence the two will be getting back together in 2019. Now, in a related story, potential volcanic underwater landslides could cause thousands of fatalities in Indonesia.
Hey.
Lil Scrappy's friend Casino Roulette saying he still suffers from mental trauma 7 months after surviving a bad car accident. Still, Casino Roulette says he's made massive strides forward in his recovery thanks to Australian rapper Outback Steakhouse.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well,
that's where we're going.
The first two names, but Outback Steakhouse, yeah.
That's
any
where
day
we're
now.
Going.
Any day now.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, 25 years after his ex-wife, Lorena Bobbitt, cut off his penis, John Bobbitt telling ABC News he believes she did it to save their marriage. Bobbitt says it's like the time she helped him quit smoking by sticking an olive fork in his balls. That's your Hollywood trend.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to today's lesson question. What terrible thing happened to Kendall Jenner after she got acne? 215-263-WMMR. I will go over to Jason, see if he knows the answer.
Yes, guys.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well.
All right, so what terrible thing happened to Kendall after she got acne?
She got a terrible parking spot.
That's right. Yeah. Hang on a second, Jason. We are going to take care of you with a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home Show, January 11th through 13th, the 13th and 18th through the 20th. Pennsylvania Convention Center. For more information and discount tickets, you can go to PhillyHomeShow.com. All right, thank you.
My solo.
Casino Roulette.
Casino Roulette. How long still is, traumatized.
How long has a Casino Roulette been around? Is this new? Is this a brand new? A
couple years.
A couple years.
Yeah, he did get in an accident. It was a little twitch. Was that who it was?
God. A little twitch was the driver, or he had a little twitch and it caused him to crash.
Little twitch was the driver. Was it the other one? Just check here. Little Scrappy.
I'm sorry.
Little Scrappy. So Little Scrappy was driving. Right. Casino Roulette was the passenger, and the accident has caused Casino Roulette to have some lingering problems. But as you said, he received help from the Australian rapper Outback Steakhouse.
Right.
All right. So how does he spell Casino Roulette the right way?
It is, or? Casino Roulette. However, the S in casino is a dollar sign.
Oh. Well, there it is. That makes it all make sense. All right. Music news time. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And this morning is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing.
They're great.
Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary and limited time offer. Well, Tool frontman Maynard James Keenan has completed recording his vocals for the band's long-awaited new album. He took it to his Twitter account on Friday and wrote, "Update, final vocals tracked months ago. Then US-UK Euro run with a perfect circle. If Tool, all instruments are tracked, long process of mixing now. Meanwhile, write film track with Pussifer for Pussifer 2020 and troll the band FBs with wine posts.
Fire in sky."
Yeah. Some of it I don't quite understand.
Who's writing his press releases? Tonto?
He's shortening some of it. But nonetheless, the bottom line is they've gotten the vocals apparently done for Tool. They officially entered the studio last March to begin recording their full-length album since 2006's 10,000 Days. A new study has determined that Shinedown was the hardest touring rock band of 2018.
A study was conducted?
Yeah, the figures were compiled by Norman Records, which crunched the numbers based on the 1,000 most popular artists on live event app called Songkick through November and December. The results showed that Shinedown led the metal/alternative category by playing 136 shows in 2018 and traveling 47,470 miles in the process.
Wow.
They were closely followed by POD, Bullet for My Valentine, those two, while artists including Asking Alexandria, Stone Sour, Judas Priest, and Marilyn Manson were also in the top 10.
The word is their Easy Pass got so hot it exploded.
And they're going to be playing the MMRBQ.
Yes.
Coming up on Saturday, May 18th, along with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, the Struts, Evanescence, Fozzy, Bad Wolves, Glorious Sons, and Local Shots artist Saravo. So they're working hard, and they continue to do so, and they will be here. Don't miss out on those guys. Well, the official video for Rock the Rock, the first new song from Axl Rose in 10 years, is now available online. The track was featured in the TV show New Looney Tunes, which airs on the Boomerang channel, cable channel. The episode, which premiered on December 24th, featured Rose as a character. In his scene, he teamed up with Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, and other Looney Tunes characters to play Loud Enough to Destroy an Asteroid Before It Could Hit the Earth, with the Looney Tunes gang as his backing band. The group then proceeded to play Rock the Rock, ultimately blowing up the asteroid and saving the world. And we have some of this to play for you, so this is it.
Gentlemen, it's time to rock the rock.
Is that him at the beginning?
I think it is.
Let me go back to that. Hang on.
Gentlemen, it's time to rock the rock.
Yeah, probably.
Turn it up, make it loud, get your guitar ready to scream. Heavy drums, amplifiers, we're a sonic demolition team.
So in the scene, there's an asteroid headed to Earth, and they're all playing, and these sonic rays are flying out of the speakers and bashing into the asteroid,
which has a face on it.
And eventually, yeah. I guess it destroys it.
Yes,
Rock the Rock is the first new recording from Rose since the last Guns N' Roses album, which was in 2008.
So 2008,
it's been that long since he's recording anything God. New, and it's this Rock the Rock. From the Looney Tunes cartoon.
It's not bad.
It appears that Rose did not contribute to the writing of the song, which is registered on BMI as having been written by Joshua Funk and Rob Janna.
Phineas and Ferb has better music.
What's that?
I like the songs in Phineas and Ferb more than this.
Have you ever watched this? I guess I have Boomerang, but I don't really watch it.
I won't do it. I can't do new Looney Tunes.
Yeah, no.
It's either old Looney Tunes or nothing for me.
Funk, by the way, Joshua Funk is an Emmy-nominated composer who has written music for Comedy Central's Key & Peele, new Looney Tunes, Scooby-Doo, Shaggy Showdown, Teachers, and others. So he was the man who helmed the music side of things for this. So anyhow, I do have some other stories that we're going to get to. You know that Ghost is becoming a really popular band when they have inspired not one but two tribute acts. The first is Ghost AD from Southern California, who have not only purchased Nameless Ghoul and Cornucopia costumes, but also invested in a ghost-like backdrop. The other act is called The Ritual. They're from Bend, Oregon, and have also gone for the costumes, but a less elaborate production. So there are now tribute bands to Ghost out
there. If you're a tribute band to Ghost, you got to spend some money.
Yeah, you do. Marilyn Manson turned 50 years old on Saturday and celebrated with a birthday party at Madame Siam in Los Angeles, surrounded by a large turnout of friends.
It's a taco place.
Video footage showed a crowded but not completely out-of-control bash, with Manson looking a little emotional as his friends saying happy birthday to him.
What'd they get him for his birthday? Did it say?
They didn't say. I don't know what kind of gifts he got.
Pajamagram?
This is sad. Jane's Addiction frontman Perry Farrell is devastated and heartbroken after thieves made off with his luggage, which contained a piece of jewelry that had belonged to his late father. He posted a photo of the item on Twitter, writing, "My father made this as a jeweler in the 1970s. It is the only thing / inheritance that I have from him. It was in the bag that was stolen out of my driveway. Please help me get it back. I'm devastated and heartbroken." His wife, Ettie, tweeted about, that's E-T-T-Y.
Yeah, yeah.
Tweeted,
I'm his wife.
About the theft on Thursday, writing, "As we were moving the heavier pieces of luggage into our house after coming home from our Aspen holiday, we left Perry's carry-on and Alexander McQueen on the ledge next to the gate, and it wasn't there when we went back for it. 2005 red Toyota Avalon," because they tweeted what appears to be surveillance video of the incident, and a red car can be seen pulling up with to Farrell's driveway. And a woman exits the vehicle from the passenger side. She walks up to where his bag was placed, picks it up before running back to the car.
What a miserable bastard.
The incident took place in Santa Monica. So they're trying to see if they can track down who did that. That's sad.
Terrible, man.
It's a, you know, I mean, I'm sure they could, they'll let everything else go, but that's just a one thing. A family heirloom.
I hope with this, it's a pretty clear image. I hope they get him.
And then one last thing, MMR VIPs, get to the contest page at WMMR.com. You can enter to win our first of two Disturbed grand prizes for their February 18th show at the Wells Fargo Center. And a winner and a guest get backstage passes to play foosball with the band before the show.
Yeah. I love foosball.
I do, too. I have a pair of lower-level tickets and a pass to raid the merch booth as well. So you get some freebies from there. That's a lot of fun. So play foosball with the guys backstage. The contest entry deadline is on the 20th of this month. Details and contest rules at WMMR.com. Don't forget, MMR presents Disturbed with 3 days grace Monday, February 18th at the Wells Fargo Center. And tickets are on sale now via the Wells Fargo Center Philly.com.
That's my mom's birthday. I wonder if she'd like to play.
Mom?
She'd want to play?
Yeah.
Play with Disturbed?
Oh, that's wonderful news.
Yes. Brought you some meatballs.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have.
What are these
you.
In the meatballs? They're raisins.
You like raisins.
You never know. It might influence in writing a brand new song from Disturbed.
This song's called Raisins in My Meatballs. Goes out to Nick's mother, who kicked our ass to foosball.
All right, there you go. So I got music news. Let's take another break. We'll come back in a second. Get ready to wrap up the program. We'll do the Letter of the Day for Award of the Week prize. Tell you all about that when we get back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Enjoyable day today for a Monday. Can't always say that, man.
No.
It's pretty difficult walking into work, but everybody's so happy and excited. The birds are moving on to another challenge next week, staying alive.
It's astonishing, really.
Yeah, and you can see it and feel it for sure. So very enjoyable today. Thank you to our buddy Michael Barkan for being on the program today. Giving us his take on what went on last night, what goes on next week. He's feeling confident and like a lot of people, excited about what the future holds. So very good to have him on this morning. It's also cool to start our promotion called Go Fund Yourself. And we have your chance to win $1,000 five times a day.
Yes.
And somebody winning a $10,000 grand prize. And that's every single person that enters to win each and every time. That's another entry into the $10,000 grand prize. So you ought to try every single time.
Yeah, just by that process.
Yep. So we have all the details at WMMR.com if you would like to get those. So we welcome Pierre Robert into the studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have a question.
Sir.
Yes.
So it doesn't, to win the $10,000, you don't necessarily have to be a winner of the $1,000.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes,
you,
sir.
Just by virtue of entering.
Just by entering, you become eligible.
Every time.
Whether you win $1,000 or not, you still have a chance to win the $10,000. So you could, technically, you could win $11,000. If you won $1,000 once, you're still qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. And even if you didn't win, you are qualified for the $10,000 grand.
This is a cool incentive for a lot of people who say, well, I never win. And maybe you don't win the $1,000, but maybe you win the $10,000.
I'm perpetually stunned by the fact that so much money can be given away because it's happening so many times a day for so long.
Right.
You add in the $10,000. As you said, if you're on the fence, that's the nudge over. $10,000. Yes. You know, we do hear it all the time, but collectively, just keep voting. Keep trying. I mean, you should say keep participating. Yeah. You know, you never know.
It's going to be fun.
Yep.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did have a very pleasant weekend.
Cool, man.
And your kids?
Very enjoyable weekend, actually.
I'm pleased.
Got lots of rest. I needed that.
I'm pleased.
Got some things done. I was actually productive this weekend.
As your a life coach and physician,
and masseur.
I'm very happy. Yeah.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Yeah.
I got no rest, but it was still wonderful.
Namaste to you, too.
Yes.
All right. Shall we do the letter of the day?
Namaste. Sure.
Namaste.
Right, yes, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Namaste my ass at home. All right, so...
That was very funny.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
P is I'm feeling the need to eat pizza.
All right. I love it. We have a $500 Mealy's Furniture gift card to give away. Don't miss the total warehouse liquidation event right now at Mealy's Furniture. You can save up to 70% on their already low prices. You'll find clearance savings on top of clearance savings at all 8 Mealy's locations. Mealy's Furniture, just what you're looking for. So we'll give that away on Friday. I'm sure you got some things planned for the program.
Indeed. The Go Fund Yourself at 11, and then we'll get into work.
11!
Sorry.
That was really good. We'll have a workforce blocks of Queen and Green Day and Metallica. It's going to be a fun day today.
Excellent. Stick with Pierre. You can do no wrong if you do that, my friends. We're going to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Penn Medicine. Penn Medicine Transplant, your life is worth Penn Medicine. On tomorrow's program, very delighted about this. An old friend of ours is going to be returning into the studio because he is a new member of the Philadelphia Wings. Kevin Crowley was picked up by the team. We were hoping that was going to happen. He stayed here the whole time. And
he's a great guy.
He's a great guy, and I'm really excited he's going to be back at the... you know, playing with the team and representing Philadelphia.
So he's a damn good player.
Very cool. And we also have a new version of Tattoos Day that starts tomorrow.
What? Yes.
Yeah, we'll explain it all tomorrow when it takes place. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
No. I was born in 92, and I'm not that old. No.
Next message.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! Woo!
Oh, that should be like throwing away or something. Spencer, put it in a trash can. Somebody will throw that.
Next message.
Listen, asshole, I just wanted to tell you that girls don't take it so well when you brag about your exes. Just saying.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.